If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, this is Rick Dees in the morning.
I am an asshole.
Come on, who's a bigger jackass than me? I'm a huge jackass.
Lisa, what was your favorite part of the Tim Matheson interview? Was it when Kevin asked about Tim's dead dad?
You know, my father passed away a few years ago.
Oh, did he? It's a good thing he didn't have to see that then.
I knew it. I just wanted, I know.
As soon as I said, have you talked to your, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus. Well, it's a good thing he's dead then, so he doesn't have to see this.
Note to self, never ask Star about parents.
That is some f***ed up s***.
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
I'm here to say, to hell with the white America.
And dead at 73, Belgian cartoonist André Franquin, creator of the hilariously disaster-prone character Gaston Lagaffe.
You appear intelligent, but when you open your mouth, the effect is spoiled.
Yeah, screw you.
I'm taking you down right now. You and me. Let's go, bitch.
And now.
That's the way it is. Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 5:34 on Thursday, the 26th of July. Do you like cream in your coffee?
Are you saying I'm gay?
No, that's not what it was about. Not at all.
No, of course not.
No, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
I've heard that.
You know, like with Lost, for example. I may be the worst guy to be watching Lost because it gets to be so complicated. You have
to
remember
to keep track
so
of.
Many details, stuff
yes.
like that. This new show, John from Cincinnati.
I'm surprised you're watching that show, by the way.
It's just weird enough that I like it.
Yeah.
But it's so unbelievably confusing that I want to take my life. I'm the wrong guy to be making sense of this. Have you been watching all the way through?
No. I watched the first three episodes. And I love the John guy, that character.
I'm going to beat the hell out of the John guy. We need to get him on the phone or in the studio, and I need to beat him up.
Because he's really good. He's interesting.
Well, yes and no. I mean, here's some of the audio from the end of the fifth show. So now you've watched five full shows. Maybe you should be able to be starting to make sense of it. Here's a little bit of John from Cincinnati.
Okay.
If my words are yours, can you hear my father? Can Bill know my father, keeping his eye on me? Can I bone Kai and Butchie know my father instead? My father's shy doing his business. Kai helps my father dump out. Bill takes a shot. Shawnee is much improved. Joe is a doubting Thomas. Joe will save not Aleman. Joe will bring his buddies home.
This is how Freddy relaxes.
Cup of Joe and Winchell's variety dozen. Mitch catches a good wave. Mitch wipes out. Mitch wipes out Sissy. Sissy shows Butchie how to do that. Sissy wipes Butchie out. Butchie hurts Barry's head. Mr. Rollins comes in Barry's face.
My father runs the Mega Millions.
Fur is big. Mud is big. The stick is big. The word is big. Fire is huge. The wheel is huge. The line and circle are big. On the wall, the line and circle are huge. On the wall, the man at the wall makes a man from the circle and line. The man at the wall makes a word on the wall. From the circle in line.
Okay,
That didn't clarify everything for you?
I know every single person he's talking about from the show.
Yeah.
I don't know what one of those things means. Not one of them.
Well, he wants to bone Kai. I know that.
But some people are saying, you know, like John from Cincinnati, the guy is actually God
or God's
Jesus.
Son, yeah. And you kind of get God's son from that, don't you?
Kind of, but he talks about boning and all this other stuff. And you go, no.
But only to communicate with Butch, who also boned Kai, right?
I guess. And he repeats stuff a lot of people say. And every character in the show so far all came into one location and he was talking to all of them. And I have no earthly idea what any of it meant.
I don't think you're ever going to get answers on the show. Not unlike Lost.
So I watched episode 6 to clarify some of 5.
Okay.
No idea.
Nothing?
It's just...
Fire's big.
Fire is big. People are floating in the sky above the ground.
Right.
They're levitating.
They're still floating, huh?
They're obsessed with going to the bathroom. I know that. It's a story about a surf family, some weird dude named John who came into the area. And everything's different since John's been there. People have been healed from death, you know, deathly, you know, hurt, being hurt deathly. And
Mitch
all,
floats. I know that.
Mitch floats. I don't understand really any of it, but I can't stop watching
until I can
get an answer or two. Just one answer.
Dude.
All of that goes by. I don't know what any of it means.
They gotcha.
That's unacceptable. Drives me out of my
mind. Have you gone on the boards like Bean would do? The message
board?
Who's
on a message board about a TV show? Who's got that kind of time? But I need to, obviously, because I don't know what any of it means.
Maybe someone does and they can tell you.
Maybe.
Maybe someone will email
you. Well, we need to track down that guy, John, from Cincinnati. We need to have him on, and I need to beat him about the head. Because
sounds good.
I'm too confused. I'm not the guy probably who should be making sense of this.
Can you imagine memorizing that speech, by the way?
No.
That would be difficult.
No.
It's nonsensical.
I mean, maybe it makes sense to them. They're making it.
I doubt it.
I don't have
any seriously
idea.
Doubt it. Nobody knows what they're doing anymore.
It's a show on HBO. I'm so the wrong guy to be watching that show, though. I can't.
It's like musical lyrics. You take away whatever you want, man.
Yeah. Although
it means to you is what it means.
Yeah. Well, that sucks ass.
Yeah,
okay, I don't
agree.
Want that.
John from Cincinnati sounds. The whole episode is like one long moment with Kevin. It's like they just throw words at the screen and hopefully it'll come out
and
okay.
And people go, wait, I think I know what that means.
But
I
none
think.
Of them are right. I don't know. It just drives me nuts. So,
well,
John,
good
from
for you sticking with it.
Hey, I hate myself. Every single time it comes around Sunday night, HBO. All right. Freaking John from Cincinnati. Going to talk some more nonsense.
Watch it again.
I'm not going to understand it, but I have to. I've put in so much time by now. I've watched 6 full episodes.
Yep. You're in.
And I was asking a friend last night, do you think there's going to be an end? Or is this just going to be one of those where it just ends and it means whatever it means to anyone? They don't have any idea what it means themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to John, and I'm going to have to pummel him.
Okay. Well, maybe have some answers for you.
Yeah.
Because you don't really want to pummel the possible son of God.
If he's the son of God, I don't. But if he's not, I want to beat the crap out of him.
Might be.
As does everybody else on the show. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, and that means we have more tickets for our Breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Yes.
Which is coming up this coming Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So if you don't win the tickets between now and Tuesday, you will be able to listen to it Tuesday morning. We just finished our breakfast with Linkin Park, so we're going to do My Chemical Romance coming up next.
Yes.
That should be good. We have Money, our former sports guy, coming into the studio to talk about a lot of sports stories, because there's
stuff,
a lot of weird stuff.
This stuff even interests me.
Well, I mean,
because it's not just regular sports stuff.
If you have an NBA ref who's shaving points, meaning trying to change the game so that one team wins by a certain amount or another team, for the mob.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's weird as hell. And what's going on with Kobe? I guess he's finally shut up. He's finally just going to play for the Lakers. I don't know what the hell. There's a lot of good sports stories out there.
Definitely.
And the NFL season is coming. Very excited about that. So we got Money, our former sports guy, into the studio. I was hoping it was going to be Petros because I was listening to them 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Petros was mouthing off about how he was going to kick all our asses.
Us?
Because he doesn't find it funny that we make fun of his lisp.
Mike.
And he was on the air. He was on the air talking about us and saying how he was going to kick all of our asses. It sounded a little something like this.
I understand that a guy has a little bit of a speech impediment, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Okay. I come in there. I give them the gold. I go into K-Rock and I do the sports for them. And then they come in and they lambast me, Money. You know what they do? They lambast me. I'm going to go get them.
That's what he was saying.
Get him, emo.
So, yeah. So, anyway, we're going to have former sports guy Money on the show. We have people who've turned their back on celebrities because of personal behavior. That's enough. You know what? Not going to watch anything they're in anymore.
Depending on the behavior, I could see that.
I don't see that.
Cruelty?
Because I'm not that kind of person.
Cruelty, come on.
Well, I guess, yeah, Michael Vick.
Pedophile,
I guess you can talk about Michael Vick
or pedophile. I mean, you know what they generally, what they do in their personal life, I don't care.
Most of the time,
they cheat on their wife,
DUI,
their husband, whatever.
One of us wins money. You know, right. So that's okay. If you missed Ted Huntington from Irvine, California yesterday.
Oh, my Lord.
We have some highlights of him coming up just after 6.
In quotes, highlights.
Highlights, sure. Highlights slash lowlights.
Yes.
Sure. We have Al Gore on the show today.
Excellent.
Very excited about that. I know you've heard the trouble with his son, which cracks us up to no end.
Speeding in his Prius.
In his Prius. Just excited that everybody's just excited a Prius can go fast.
I know. Who knew? I want one.
That's the tip. And the Weekly World News is going under. Very upset about that. Weekly World News no longer.
That's sad.
So we may have to check in with Bat Boy today. That's all coming up this morning. It's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. It is time for Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
How you feeling, Kevin? You were out yesterday a little under the weather.
I would watch my face closely today.
Because things may be coming out of it.
For any signs of needing to dive for the sides.
Yeah, that's bad stuff.
Not good.
Food poisoning, you figure?
I think so, because it's a little bit better today, so usually, you know, 24 hours or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Of course, we're still waiting for Bean to phone in. So it's tag team radio here at K-Rock. Apparently, Bean tapped Kevin. He's in, and Bean's out now. So we'll get everybody in the ring. We'll get everybody in the ring sometime later today, we hope. Take a look at the showbiz beat. Looks like Lisa Bonet from The Cosby Show is going to be a mom again. The 39-year-old Lisa Bonet has given birth to a baby girl. The baby daddy is a 27-year-old actor. Named Jason Momoa.
Would that make her a cougar?
It would make her a cougar. I mentioned cougars yesterday. I don't know if you were listening to the show at all, Kevin, but yesterday during What a Do Nephew, a listener called in and wanted some advice from me how he could meet older women. And I said, you know, you can probably go to any of the personal websites online and just punch in a certain age range that you want to go to, and they'll give you those selections. And that spurred a ton of email I got. People said, what advice did you give him? I heard you were talking about cougars today. I'm dying to date older women. Like, tons of young guys have been emailing me looking for older women.
No kidding.
So I did a little research, and there are personal websites dedicated just to that combo, older women, younger men combinations. CougarDate.com is one of them.
Fantastic.
And there's a couple others. If you just do a search engine search with cougar and personals or dating in there, you'll find them. But I'm surprised that this is the new trend, younger guys wanting to date older women.
Yeah, I think maybe they think more secure.
That's definitely a plus.
They know what they're doing. They more don't want to get tied down, probably.
More likely to bone, I think, is another one.
There's that.
Just because, you know, they're not so persnickety about holding onto their virtue, because that's long gone. That's
right, exactly.
That's ancient history, so they might as well just have a good time with a young stud, I guess.
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about that later this week or next.
You want a girl that says,
I swear to God, I will mount you right now.
That's what you want.
They're looking
for a cougar right there. Speaking of old-young combinations, this is maybe the most disturbing story I've ever heard.
Old-young combinations.
The National Enquirer says that supermodel Angie Everhart is getting married again.
Oh,
are you familiar with Angie Everhart?
Yes. Only that she's crazy as hell.
Yeah, but she's a stunning sort of strawberry blonde supermodel. She's been around forever. She's 37 years old today, but still looks great. She's an actress as well. The National Enquirer says she is engaged to... I wonder if you could guess. He's a 64-year-old actor.
64?
She's 37. She's 5'11". He's 5'4".
Whoa.
Danny DeVito.
Close. And he doesn't really do much acting anymore. He's semi-retired.
Peter Falk.
Not Peter Falk. Peter Falk's like 87,
John Connery.
By the way. Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci and Angie Everhart.
Are you kidding?
Rumor is they got engaged during a long weekend in Atlantic City. Angie Everhart and 64-year-old Joe Pesci getting married, according to the National Enquirer.
I don't believe that.
That's the oddest combo ever.
That engagement will break up within a week.
Think I'm funny in bed? How, Angie? How am I funny? Am I like a clown to you?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
They were drinking. It sounded like a great idea at the time.
Yeah. The fact that Atlantic City was involved makes me think it's one of those sort of Vegas situations, because they're very similar towns. So we'll have to wait and see. Happy anniversary to Paul Rubens, better known as Pee Wee Herman. It was 15 years ago today that he was arrested in a Sarasota, Florida adult theater for wanking it.
Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
15 years. Where does the time go by?
That's what you want from a guy who's doing kids shows.
I can remember that mugshot as if it was yesterday. He had the long hair and the goatee. He looked like just a total pervert.
That was one of those, are you kidding me?
What?
You know, it's funny, though. People have done so much worse. He wasn't watching kids' movies. He was watching adult movies.
Yeah.
So it really shouldn't matter.
No, I thought at the time, it was like, you're in a porno theater. What do you expect the guy to do? That's what everyone does when they're watching movies in a porno theater. I think it was just people.
It's weird how this stuck to him.
That he was doing it in public, I guess, so
to speak. Seriously, people have done so much worse, and
I think it's the combination with
just killed him.
Might have access to kids, kind of.
And he was doing a kid show at the time, I think, was the creepy part for some people. By the way, in case you're curious, Nancy Nurse Turns Up the Heat was the name of the feature film he was enjoying at the time. So.
Nancy Nurse Turns Up the Heat.
Yeah, it's good stuff right there. TV Guide magazine has listed its top earners in American television.
American television.
So are these TV shows?
These are the richest people on television. People who appear on television and how much money that they make. The top five is pretty interesting.
Kelsey Grammer.
Well,
not anymore, I don't
he's not in the top five.
He's not. Okay.
Because Frasier's over. I doubt he's making Frasier money for this new sitcom he's got coming on Fox.
Isn't Zach Braff making a lot of money?
Yes, Kevin. Well done. That was my surprise.
fifth on the list, Zach Braff. He's making $6.3 million a year.
So these are shows that are all currently on?
Currently. People are currently on television, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Top earners in American television right now. Zach Braff was number five.
Okay.
Katie Couric was number four.
Okay.
Making 15 mil for her CBS Evening News gig. This is going to surprise you. I know it did me. Judge Judy Shindlin.
Are you kidding me?
What does
me?
She make?
$30 million for her Judge Judy TV show.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
That's just
kidding?
Wrong.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't, Judy.
No,
you're
it
absolutely
doesn't.
Right. Give some of that money back.
Oh, my God.
The other, the top two are completely understandable. Simon Cowell.
Sure.
From American Idol is in the second earning spot with $45 million. And lastly, Oprah Winfrey, of course.
Oh, sure.
Is at the top of the heap. She makes $260 million yearly.
She would get my head around that.
She was one of those people.
Yearly.
I know.
Not in a lifetime. Not in 10 years of work. Yearly making $260 million.
She was one of those few people in the early days that somehow figured out a way to own her own show so that she didn't have to pay everyone
back
else.
Back when she was doing local TV in Chicago, yeah.
But you know what she does with the money?
I'm so fat.
Eats it?
She eats a lot of it, yeah.
But $260 million after taxes, that's like half. It's like $130
million. It's like enough for a couple of meals.
It's nothing.
I'm so fat.
Yes, you are. Brad Pitt's mom is a pain in the ass.
Really? Why?
According to Star Magazine, Jane Pitt, Brad's mom, is still head over heels about Jennifer Aniston.
Okay. So
but
let it go.
The problem is she keeps calling Jen, trying to get them back together again. Sources close to Jane says she wants Jen to know that Brad isn't cold and heartless and he had a hard time getting over her and their broken marriage. And thinks that there still may be something between them. Maybe the relationship can be salvaged. Is that what you want? Your mom calling up your ex-wife? Still trying to put things in? Apparently,
why
she's
did she
not
call Brad
especially when
say,
you have a baby with the new woman.
She's not crazy about Angelina, according to rumors. And she's really crazy about Jennifer. And she would like to see that reestablish. Mom, would you please?
That's the last thing you want.
Yeah. It's horrible on every level. Brigitte Nielsen.
Yes.
Out of rehab now.
Mm-hmm.
However, Star Magazine reports that the story she was giving everyone, how she voluntarily went in and knew it was time to quit, isn't exactly the truth.
Oh, what happened?
According to friends, she had a major intervention and was taken kicking and screaming into rehab by friends and family.
Well, this should stick then.
They told her, get help for your drinking or lose us all forever.
Does that work?
That sounds more appropriate if you know her than her just saying, oh, I think I need some help. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it helps. It works or not. Some people go in that way, and then they have sort of a revelation when they're in rehab, and they say, wow, this is great. This is what I need to do, and then they come out the other side.
Some people are Lindsay Lohan.
That's true. Yes.
The other end.
By the way, news, apparently not arrested today.
Lindsay Lohan not arrested.
Not arrested today. That's news now.
That is news.
Yeah, as opposed to being arrested.
Gotcha.
Now when she's not arrested is news.
How about that?
Once again, people talking about the fact that the new Scott Baio reality show, Scott Baio is 45 and single. Maybe more than a little misleading. Remember, if you've watched that show at all, by the way, which is pretty involving over there at VH1.
I've heard that it's decent.
It
but
is.
When I found out he wasn't single, I was out.
Well, he's still single, but his girlfriend, who he's supposed to ignore while he's shooting the series, he has to like not have any contact with her for 2 months while he was looking up his old girlfriends and sort of getting his head straight.
Right.
She's 2 months pregnant. So
with his kid.
Yes. Apparently there was some sort of contact going on at some time.
So just stop the show. We don't. It's over.
Well, he's still single.
Well.
No, he's just impregnating women. Maybe that's a new show. Scott Baio was 45 impregnating women. And Johnny Knoxville. This is who you want as a pal.
Yes, you do.
Apparently he likes to play pranks on his friends. Can you imagine that?
What?
Johnny Knoxville?
Johnny Knoxville?
I know. It's
doesn't
madness.
Seem like that kind
madness.
Of
madness. Apparently his buddy Luke Wilson had plans to attend a big beach party over in Malibu last weekend. And so while Luke was at this party, which was filled with strangers and hanger-ons and whatnot, Johnny rented a plane that flew a banner behind it advertising Luke's home phone number. People were jotting it down left and right. And not surprisingly, the number is now out of service.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty fun.
I love that. I always look at those planes that are flying by and you go, well, is that really doing any good?
But if you're going to get
those in that case, it's doing some bad.
Phone number of a celebrity. That's fantastic.
Which is good. Oh, just a grip load of celebrities having their birthday today. Very popular day, July 26th.
Blake Edwards, movie writer and director who gave us The Pink Panther and Ten and Victor Victoria and so many great movies. He's 85 years old today. I think he's still married to Julie Andrews.
I think he is. Yeah.
Mick Jagger, lead singer for the Rolling Stones, is 64 years old today. Lips, indeed.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren, Oscar-winning actress, most recently for The Queen, where she played Queen Elizabeth. She's 62 years old today. Kevin Spacey turns 48 years old today. Gary Cherone. Does that name ring a bell?
Sure does.
It does. I'm just not sure why.
He was the last lead singer for Van Halen after everyone else bailed. Remember? Remember the last gasp of Van Halen where they put him in the lead singer slot?
How'd that work out?
Not so good. He's 46 years old today. Sandra Bullock turns 43. Kate Beckinsale.
Oh,
yes.
He's 34 years old today. She's just the best. And our buddy Jeremy Piven celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How dare you, by the way? How just what? How freaking
what? How dare who? What?
You just like nothing's wrong, like the world keeps spinning, like everything's great. I mean, how about a little respect? I mean, how about at least a mention? How about at least a heads up to, you know, what's going on with our poor friend Batboy? I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, listen, Weekly World News has been our Bible. We've said that on many different occasions.
Absolutely.
It's the world's only reliable newspaper. I mean, that's what we've discovered. There's stories in there that, for some reason, the Los Angeles Times doesn't have the guts to print. I mean, that's what I like about the Weekly World News. And now, the staple of my life since 1979 is going away. And, I mean, the company that owns them, they only lost $160 million last year. Is that any reason to shutter the Weekly World News? Come on.
In 1 year?
Yes.
How does it cost that much to put out that drivel?
Well, first of all, I resent the content. I resent the word drivel. They don't just own the Weekly World News. They own the National Enquirer and some other publications.
Put those out then.
Well, I agree. But when we heard the bad news about the Weekly World News, and where are we going to get our news from now on? I don't know. We said there's only one person that we need to contact to find out what the real deal is. Let's call up Batboy, shall we?
Batboy. He's a bat.
Bat.
He's a boy.
Bad boy?
Oh, this is tragic, bad boy.
Hey, fellas, what's up?
We've followed your entire life, bad boy, through the Weekly World News.
Yeah, I know.
Remember when you went and fought in Iraq?
Yeah, kicked some Iraq, yeah.
Oh,
I did.
Good day.
Didn't the Army hire you in Afghanistan to look for Osama bin Laden because of your skill?
Yeah, because of my radar sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you've met. Got big ears.
Big ears. Yeah. Sure do. You're a bat.
He can hear a lot of crap.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now listen, bad boy, you don't stop existing just because the newspaper stops writing about you, and you can still be out there saving the world, can't you?
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I do now. Who's going to cover me?
Well, I mean, maybe somebody else will start picking it up.
Hey, listen, Urkel didn't stop existing after Family Matters went off the air.
Yeah, good point.
But no one really knows what he's up to.
Well, because there's no way to find out because nobody's writing about him. I guess you're right about that.
Yeah. Tom Wopat didn't die when Dukes of Hazzard went off the air.
Bad boy, did you watch all of these TV shows?
Willie Ames didn't die when Charles in Charge got canned.
Right, but no one cares anymore. I get it.
Potsy didn't die when Happy Days
we get
went
it.
Off the air.
Yeah. We get the reference. We know what you're talking about.
Now what do I do? What's next for me?
Well,
Celebrity Fit Club.
Are you
That's
fat?
I gotta go.
Are you fat?
Yeah, I've been eating a lot of depression lately.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's gonna be me and Screech.
Sure.
Oh, that's horrible.
Wow.
Bad boy, how did you find out the news? I mean, does somebody call you, or did you just hear about it on the radio, or what happened?
No, they gave me the call.
They did.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
I was driving my car under the lot where they have the building there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And security said, "Oh no, BB, no."
Did they call you BB?
give up your pass. Give up your security card because we're shutting her down.
What kind of car do you drive, bad boy?
A Prius.
Prius. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's responsible.
Well, I want to keep the earth green, you know.
Bad boy, why do you need a car? Can't you fly?
sure I can fly.
Why are you driving?
Have you ever, you know how exhausting it is to fly?
No. Well,
no, of course I don't.
Well, then shut the F up.
Okay,
you don't always want to go flying. I'll tell you, I just flew in from Miami, and boy, are my arms tired.
Well, I bet they are. I guess you can say that, can't
you? Because it's very exhausting to fly.
So you're saying that's not a joke. That's real, then.
It is. You got to flap your arms a lot.
Okay.
I apologize.
And it's exhausting, so I sometimes hop in the Prius. You know, if I'm going around the corner to get some blood or whatever, I have to, you know, hang out.
Okay, well, excuse my ignorance. Listen, what happens to all of your friends that the Weekly World News covers? I mean, what happens to the aliens and the world's fattest dog and everybody else?
I know. We got the buff cat.
Sure, the buff
That's
cat.
Right.
We got the world's fattest mouse.
Right.
He's hanging out here at the cave. We're pitching some ideas around town.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe like a surreal life type reality show.
With the characters from the Weekly World News.
Yeah, me and Bigfoot and the Clinton aliens and the world's fattest mouse and the world's buffest cat.
I would love that.
We all live under one roof and we, you know, have challenges and stuff and we vote each other off.
And then what does the person win that gets to the end?
You know, I don't know, a pack of cigarettes. It'd be like Big Brother.
Yeah.
It's called Big Freak.
Sure. Yeah, well, you got to work on that a little bit.
I'd watch that, probably.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Look at the stuff that's on the air now. Do you think the show wouldn't go?
Yeah, good point.
No, you're right.
Could it be
any
worse than Hey Paula?
Or the two Corys? Yeah, sure. I mean, those are
singing bee?
Sure.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Oh,
you're
maybe
right.
That's it. Maybe we read a Weekly World News story and you have to tell us what the rest of it is.
Yeah.
The tabloid bee.
It's just, it's not going to, look, we're trying to pump you up, you know, because we love you, bad boy, but it's hard to be enthusiastic about whatever's next because there's no Weekly World News anymore. Just kind of sad. Bad boy.
I can't.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
No.
You're crying.
No, I'm not crying.
Bad boy, you're crying.
Sounds like you're crying,
bad
boy.
I'm a tough bad boy.
Right.
And I don't cry.
You're still part boy, though, aren't you? You know,
inside where it counts, I'm all boy.
Yeah,
yeah, I get
it's sad.
Well, there's nothing sadder than the tears of a bat. I've always said.
Have you always said that?
I've never heard it say it. But...
Well, okay. I'm hoping I can get in the tabloids still.
You think other tabloids will cover you now?
I think I'm going to bang Britney Spears and knock her up.
Well, that would probably do it.
Great idea,
Britney Bat.
And she would probably do it. So,
and I heard Lowen will give it up to anybody.
Sure,
too, so.
That's true.
Okay,
maybe
well,
I'll
good
fly
luck
over the rehab and see how she's doing.
Now, are you going to make your home in Southern California now so that you can start hitting on these?
Yeah, look, I got to get into the, public eye. I got to stay here where the heat is. You know.
Okay,
sure, I understand. Okay,
but things are looking up, guys. I got my fingers crossed. I might have a guest spot on my Life on the D List with Kathy Griffin. So.
Is that right?
So keep a good thought for me, will you?
Okay. Sure.
All right.
Real best of luck with that.
Hey, you guys can have me on more often too. That would help.
Nope,
can't hear you. Break it up, bad boy. Break it up. Got to run.
Yeah, freaking Ted Huntington from Irvine, California.
Signal's going away. Sorry.
Bad boy.
A boy.
Boy.
Bad boy. That boy.
This one is very special, by the way. You know, we've done a lot of these breakfasts over the years. This is one of the smaller ones. So if you're an MCR fan, it's very exclusive, and you're running out of time to get in. So coming up just after 7 o'clock, you'll have a chance to get in and win and join us Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Afro Line on the air, 323-520-AFRO. You call us on any topic, leave a message.
He's a bat. Bat. He's a boy. Boy. Bad boy. Bad boy?
Yeah.
Very nice tribute.
Yeah.
Seriously, Ted Huntington, whack. All I have to say is, whatever drugs that guy has taken, he needs to freaking share.
He sounded very reasonable to me. Sure. I thought the guy made a lot of sense.
Sure you did. I'm going to start with an email first before I play this next one. Dear Kevin, I mean, shut down krock.com. I hear that Nicole Alvarez has a nice rack. Go to the site. She might be wearing a burka. I hear there's a video of all the attractive singles on your boat ride. Go to the site. Watch a remake of the Blair Witch Project with Omar in the lead. Do you effers know what the internet is for, huh? So I hear on the show that you have a hot receptionist. Go to the site. No pics of the hot receptionist, but there's a pic of Mike in an undersized pink girl t-shirt.
Yes, there is.
Kevin, you're so gay. I just heard you ask Mike about his picture at Santa Anita. He said, Mike...
I think you need to give me some deep background on that picture. Yeah, I bet you'll give you some deep background.
This guy's doing his own show.
Sound effects.
But why don't we use the internet the way it was, the God intended it to be used for? I mean, why aren't there any pictures of hot receptionist Janelle? Why not Nicole Alvarez's rack? Why not better hot single pictures from the singles party? What's going on?
Well, one of the K-Rock cameras did go overboard on the ship, so that went into the ocean. So any pictures on that were gone.
But yeah, that's true. That did happen.
But we can get new ones, and we'll work on that. We understand your frustration. To. Can't wait for the Simpsons movie.
Spider Pig does whatever Spider Pig does. Then watch out, here comes Spider Pig.
I don't know why that's so funny. Every time I see it, I laugh.
The King has seen the Simpsons movie, by the way.
He saw the premiere?
Yeah, King of Mexico went. He's like, it's like the TV show, only longer. That's his review.
That's fine with me. I'm in. Let's see. Speaking of the King of Mexico, you know, his favorite team, of course, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Quarterback-less.
I guess Michael Vick's new ringtone will be, "Who let the dogs out?"
Dude, that's rough. We'll talk to former sports guy Money about that and all the other just bizarre sports things. There's like some weird convergence right now where the NBA is falling apart, the NFL is falling apart, there's the, you know, the Barry Bonds controversy. I mean, it's just Tour de France is in shambles. It's like, what's going on right now?
Yesterday we were talking about strange, embarrassing middle names.
Gene Lee. He's a homo.
King of Mexico, Dave, was very upset about his middle name, which of course is Juan, which is the most normal middle name ever.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
King of Mexico, your middle name is pretty common. You're acting like a fool. How about having parents who go to the Renaissance Fair all their life and think they live in a Renaissance time and call you Lance? But then your middle name's a lot. A-L-O-T. Lance a lot. 22 years of that crap. I can't stand it.
Yeah, Juan's got nothing to complain about when Lancelot's on the line.
We don't listen to Doc most of the time, but every once in a while he says something that perks up the attention of some of our listeners.
Did I just hear Doc say it's 69 at K-Rock? Lisa May, I'm on my way.
I'm sorry, did you hear Lisa May say it was 69 or Doc?
What's Doc?
Because that's who you get to engage with if you come down here. Yesterday we did Cantonese Aroki for tickets for our Breakfast with My Chemical Romance. Mm-hmm. Apparently a smash hit.
I'm in love with the dumpster diving Shaolin robot Cantonese karaoke master. Young, hot, and Asian. Get some picks up. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Why am I talking like
that? That's Bean, who has a website, younghotandasian.com, has done nothing with it.
Nope. Well, that's because I hadn't met the Shaolin robot yet. I think I'm going to have to open up a special cyborg section on the website now that I've met her.
You know, and the Robbins brothers, they have commercials on our radio station that they have the perfect proposal department so they can help you propose.
Mm-hmm. Dude, mm-hmm. I think I just found the woman of my dreams, Shaolin Robot. I've just been over to Wong Brothers, the world's largest engagement ring store over in Monterey Park, and they gave me the perfect proposal. So, Shaolin Robot, here goes. Shaolin, Qi Ren, Ni Hao. Ying Shi Wo De Yuan Fen.
I'm pretty sure she just melted.
I think so. Sounds like love.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:56. I was thinking last night as I heard that song, I was thinking, that'd be, you know what we should do? We should change the words in that song to like, hey there, or something funny that rhymes with Delilah. Like,
no, that would not be appropriate on this or any other station, according to our CBS attorneys, Kevin. Nip. So just bank that thought.
Not funny? Okay.
No, it's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. So less than a week away from now is My Chemical Romance, the Kevin and Bean Breakfast Show. If you want to go, we're taking your calls now at 1-800-520-1067. Would you say the game we're playing after the news, Kevin, is an easy game to win?
Well, it's not the easiest, if that's what you're saying. You're also saying it's Wednesday, though, and it's Thursday.
Thursday.
So we're all confused.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news then.
So, yeah, it's a difficult game, I'd say.
It's the hardest game in the world.
That's what I was trying to set him up for. I knew we had the big echo.
He wouldn't play your little reindeer game.
Hardest game in the world.
That's what I wanted. Anyway.
He's his own man. He doesn't dance when you tell him to. He's not Pinocchio. You're pulling the strings, Geppetto.
But I don't have the big echo, so I handed it off to him, and then he just looked at me.
Hey, what's going on down there at that table? What's all that hubbub about, Kevin?
That'll be coming up after the news. It's KRQ-FM passing to Los Angeles. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat for apparently a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do have a quick email I got to read here. You know, we got the Comic-Con coming up this weekend down in San Diego.
Oh, don't we know you that? Know it? Wow.
And there's a huge amount of heat. And I'm getting a ton of emails, people asking all sorts of questions. And a lot of them, you know, are comic book related because I am sort of an expert. I get a lot of just, you know, general interest questions from people who are trying to settle arguments and that sort of thing. So I thought I'd cover this one because this is something that's been plaguing mankind for nigh on 60 years now.
Sure, Bean.
Dear Ralph, my friend and I are having a debate about the defining moment that Clark Kent becomes Superman. He says it's as soon as the glasses come off. I say it's the moment his suit is exposed. What's your opinion? That's from Shelley Camaro.
Oh, I see the point. Shelley Camaro. Okay.
Yeah. This has been plaguing mankind for as long as the character's been around. And I think I have the definitive answer here. Since the glasses really are the quintessential disguise that Kal-El uses to protect his identity from an unwitting public.
Right.
The moment the glasses are removed from his face, that is when he actually becomes Superman during the transition.
But does does he ever then turn into Superman and do stuff before he puts on the suit?
Well, the suit's always underneath his street clothes. But the minute he whips off his glasses, he's Superman. The rest is just sort of, you know.
So you're telling me that in the Clark Kent suit, as long as the glasses are off, in the suit he could pick up a car if he's just wearing the regular Clark Kent going to work suit?
Well, he can always pick up the car. He's always Superman.
Even with his glasses
on? He's got the powers. It's like, when does he change character from Clark Kent to Superman? That's what they're asking.
Here's my question.
Because you know how desperately he fights to keep those glasses on in his regular life, because if they come off, people can look at him and say, hey, you're Superman!
Because he can't recognize him at all. Yeah.
So that is really the quintessential, that is the defining moment where he becomes Superman versus Clark Kent. It's all about the glasses.
What happens to him? I mean, does he never go to the pool or shower at the gym or anything like that? I mean, does he always wear the suit all the time?
No, Clark Kent!
No, but I'm just saying...
What are you asking nude questions about?
Does
Superman?
He always wear the suit all the time to stay Superman?
Look, the suit has nothing to do with his superpowers. His body is where he gets the powers from. Doesn't matter what he's wearing, he has the powers. The costume is what he wears. It's like his uniform. That's what he wears to work.
Right, here's my question. Are you effers still talking about when Superman becomes Superman?
I think it's an excellent question, Ralph, and I'm happy to hear you address it, actually. I'm
Superman
now perplexed.
Superman. When is that defining line between Clark Kent and Superman? When is the transition?
It's
the glasses.
When the glasses come off.
When the glasses come off, he's Superman. You guys all right over there?
If Clark Kent were to get LASIK, when would he become Superman?
He doesn't need the glasses. He's using them as a disguise. His eyes are perfect.
I see.
He has better than 20/20 vision. He has telescopic vision. He has X-ray vision. He has heat vision.
That's true. That's a good point.
His eyes are excellent.
You know what's so funny? As I listen to you, I do think to myself, you are so f***ing gay.
You can't say that, Ralph.
What?
You can't say that.
I just want to see how you're feeling.
I'm here.
If you were sharp or not.
I'm on it.
Just want to make sure.
Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
All right. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we?
We have time?
Not really, but I'm going to do a little bit anyway. You know who Rachel Taylor is? Does that name sound familiar to you?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
She is the actress from Transformers?
Excellent. Tell him what he's won, Bob. Rachel Taylor is the super smart physicist, outer space signal decoder in the Transformer movie, who happens to be smoking hot.
That was the best casting ever.
With a tattoo on her neck. Anyway, she was in Vegas over the weekend celebrating her birthday.
Right.
So, as all good starlets do, she was partying at Pure at Caesar's Palace, rocking the night away.
Right.
And who starts hitting on her and sidling up to her and throwing his arm around her for the cameras?
Don't
I hope it's K-Fed.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's even worse.
You know who it is.
Believe it or not.
Can I take a guess?
Yes, you can.
This is a mess.
No, it's not Hasselhoff.
Oh, not Hasselhoff. Okay.
No, Mind Freak Chris Angel.
Oh, not another one.
Christopher Sarantakos, all over TMZ right now, just smothering poor Rachel Taylor, just all over her with his emo hair and his magic tricks.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag.
Yeah.
The douchiest of all.
Who did he have last week in Las Vegas, Ralph, that you reported?
Well, he had Lindsay last week when she was in Vegas.
Yep. That's right.
And Cameron Diaz
before that. And then most recently also in Vegas was Paris Hilton, too. He was dancing with her on a stage, pole dancing with her.
Do none of these girls look at him and say, no?
I think he's magic. That's the thing.
Is that it?
Yeah. He hypnotizes.
He's really magic?
Look at my eyes. See my eyes? Look at my eyes. Straighten my eyes. Not around my eyes, but look at my eyes. Boom. Mind flip. And they just, they're powerless. It's got to be the only answer. It's got to be the only answer.
And then does he make that noise?
Freaking Christopher Sarantakis.
Oh, that's wrong.
By the way, he was on his show the other night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was playing with his pet mouse, and then he ate it whole. Or at least appeared to.
Of course.
Yeah. And so someone in the room says, dude, why did you eat your pet mouse? He says, it worked for Ozzy, and I'm crazier than Ozzy.
Oh, dear God.
All right.
Wow.
It is on. It is on, Chris Angel.
What's wrong with
you? I'm going to bring you down. It's the last thing I do. You're going down.
I think we might need a trip to Vegas.
I'm going to start picketing the Luxor. Down with Angel. Up with Devil. Whatever that means, I don't know. But more disturbing news. The National Enquirer says Angie Everhart, the smoking hot 37-year-old supermodel, is engaged to marry actor Joe Pesci.
That's so bizarre.
64-year-old, 5'4", Joe Pesci.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
No way.
You better be Pesci the tripod or else there's no reason for two of them to get together.
What movie did we see him in the last year where you realized he's about 100 or looks about 100 now?
Probably Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd. Yeah, the story Good of CS, yeah. CIA, the Robert De Niro directed film, because they're their buddies. So
does he get Angie Everhart?
Maybe we should spend a couple of minutes together, you know, to get acquainted before we, before we get to it.
Tripod.
Yeah, you're right.
Gotta be.
It has to be.
Or magic.
But look at him.
Or he's a mind freak.
Joe Pesci, I've been watching you ever since my father died. I want to tell you how much I enjoy your work, Joe Pesci.
I just threw up.
Chris Angel. God damn him.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
That song is a salacious rumor, and I don't appreciate it.
I'm fine. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Oh, more bells? More I hit bells. One. You want more?
More bells. Sandra Bullock is 43 years old today. Gary Cherone. Former singer for not only Van Halen, but also Extreme. Not forget Extreme.
Sure.
What are you doing over there, Psycho
Mike?
They
have their own fan, like, hand sign, dude. You gotta go, Extreme.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, God.
I saw Extreme back in, like, 90. It was awesome.
Not awesome.
Dude, when they played More Than Words, it was like a bonfire of lighters.
Oh, do you remember
amazing.
That song?
Word that was
more
the one.
More Than Words Can Say. Remember that?
That was a hit.
Oh,
wow.
Helen Mirren from The Queen is 62. Mick Jagger.
Top of the bell with the old people.
Oh, Helen Mirren. Oh,
no,
very sexy.
No.
Very sexy woman.
Do it, Kevin.
Very
do it,
sexy.
Do it.
Unring it. Thank you.
And she's been naked in almost every movie she's ever been in.
And
into,
no one
awesome.
Wants to see
she
that.
She needs to stop it.
How dare you?
Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones is 64 years old today. Blake Edwards, the director responsible for many funny movies, not the least of which the Pink Panther series. He's 85 years old today. And Kevin Spacey. Did I mention Kevin Spacey?
You did.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey. He's 48 years old today. Oh, Jeremy Piven, our buddy Jeremy, celebrates his 42nd birthday today. So our birthday wishes go out to him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This coming Tuesday, we're doing Breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Super secret location. Just a few K-Rock listeners are there to see the band perform live. You get a chance to ask questions. Let me tell you something about the My Chemical Romance fans, Kevin. And we learned this yesterday when we were doing the Cantonese Aroki.
Mm-hmm.
They are hard core. They know their band, they love their band, and they've got to be there. And that's why we're giving them a chance to win right now at 1-800-520-1067. Not an easy game, though. In fact, here's a game we like to call.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bane.
Now, we've had some questions lately from our listeners about this game. This game is not simple to win.
It is, in fact, difficult.
no es muy facile.
All right, why don't you describe for the many listeners that are on the line ready to play how the game is going to go here today, Mr. Announcer Man?
We will play for you the title of a My Chemical Romance song. All you need to do to win is to identify it. Oops, I almost forgot. It'll be backwards.
And hence the reason it's the hardest game of the world. Who's our first contestant today, please?
First up, let's talk to Neri. Neri's from Lakewood, and she's got a funny name.
Neri.
Is that short for something, Neri, or is it just Neri?
It's Nari.
Oh, sorry, it's Nari.
So Nari makes much more sense.
Okay. When you have an effed up name, people will mispronounce it.
And you have to be careful not to blame them. Okay, here's your song backwards. You ready?
Okay.
You can hear it twice, and that's all. Then you have to tell us what the name is.
Anil.
That's once. Here's one more time.
Anil.
My Chemical
Romance.
Oh, come on.
It's Helena? Almost...
Helena.
Yes. Good job. Nicely done.
Thank God you got that, because that one's virtually the same backwards as it is frontwards. If you don't get that one, you're not going to get any of them. All right, congratulations. You're coming Tuesday. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Thank you.
Next up is Desiree. She's from Montebello.
Hi, Desiree.
Hi.
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 All right, listen up. Here's your song title backwards.
Oops, I did that wrong. I'm going to have to start it again from the beginning.
Boo!
I know. My bad. Here you go. I'm going to do it one more time, and then you'll get one more replay. Here you go. That's once. Here's the other time.
What do you think there, Des?
Is it Welcome to the Black Parade?
The Ghost of You.
Oh. Nice try.
Sorry. Thank you.
Sorry, Desiree. Next up is Robert. He's from Bell.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Kevin Dean.
Are you ready for your song backwards?
Yep.
There you go.
Let's do it.
That
sounds like Cantonese Aroki again.
One more time.
One more time.
Welcome
to the Black Parade.
I'm not okay, I promise.
Although kids keep saying welcome to the Back Parade, eventually somebody's going to be right.
Somebody will
Maybe
get it.
It's Mika from Chino.
Hi, Mika.
Micah.
Hi,
oh,
Micah.
Shut up.
Of course it is. Of course
people
it is.
Your goddamn names.
Shut up.
Mr. Announcer Man, please.
You are what we call you.
Okay.
All right, here's the song backwards. You have to tell us what it is forward. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound very easy.
No.
All right, one more time.
Wait, you're saying this game isn't easy, Kevin?
It's the hardest game in the world!
Micah?
All right, Micah, Mika, what do you think?
Oh, my gosh. I'll try Welcome to the Black Parade again.
Oh, goddamn
you!
Welcome
to the Black Parade. Somebody
right.
had to get it eventually.
Yes, everybody says Welcome to the Black Parade. They're going to get it sooner or later. All right, Mika, Micah, we'll see you.
Oh, my God.
Hold on.
You're welcome.
All right, so two winners so far. Let's see if we can find another one, Mr. Announcer Man. Who's our next contestant?
Next up is Donnie. She's from Hollywood.
Donnie?
Danny.
Ah!
I hate you all. All right, here's your song backwards. Ready?
Serge Danny.
One more time.
Serge Danny.
Teenagers?
Teenagers.
Yes, well done. Fantastic. Well done.
Yay!
Well done.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you at the breakfast.
Danny, do you really work at Victoria's Secret?
I censor panties for a living.
Oh.
Mr. Announcer Man? Mr. Announcer Man, please stop that.
We'll have more tickets you can win for Breakfast with My Chemical Romance later on. Thanks, Mr. Announcer Man. We'll give you some time alone.
Okay, thank you.
Speaking of great rock shows, how about Muse? They're coming to town September 21st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We've been giving away tickets all this week throughout the day on K-Rock, including this past hour. We gave them to Luis Bardalis from Montebello. He won tickets in the pit, and now he's in the drawing just under the wire for about this time tomorrow when we call somebody and tell them, hey, they're going to Colorado to see the show at Red Rocks, which is tough to say with Muse, and get a chance to go horseback riding on a dude ranch with the band. There's also some talk that we may be giving away that Chevy HHR that we've been talking about all summer long tomorrow, too. Yep. We're going to find out some details on that, but maybe that'll happen tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, too.
Let's talk about the people who seem to be turned off by the celebrity behavior.
Okay. There's a lot of them.
There are a lot of people who seem very... very upset about people like Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. And
I don't know how I could support Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and Britney Spears any less than I already have been. It's not like I'm going to their movies or buying their records or doing their stuff. But there are people who maybe are fans of theirs who are getting to the point where they're just saying, I'm fed up. I can't support their art anymore because of how repulsive they are as human beings.
And that seems odd to me because let's say Lindsay Lohan, for example, she's a decent actress, I guess. I don't know that I've seen
her. Yeah, she's fine.
Anything?
She's fine. I mean, Mean Girls, for my money, was her peak. I mean, that was the best role in the best movie she ever did. But beyond that, I don't have much use for her, so I can't really boycott her.
I mean, it's one of those deals where it's same thing with politicians sometimes. You know, one thing will make or break your support for a person.
Right.
How can you be a Lindsay Lohan fan and then say, you know what? She's drinking and driving. I'm no longer going to watch movies by her because what's the standard that we're holding movie stars to, for God's sakes? And they're not our preachers, right?
Is there anything she could do that would make you not watch her anymore?
Well,
like if she drank and drive and ran over somebody.
Again, I have to agree with Bean, is that I don't watch her anyway. So
right.
I guess if
now,
it was somebody that I do watch, maybe, I don't know.
If a sex video came out, I would still watch it. I don't care what she does.
Yeah, I mean,
they could find a shallow grave in her backyard with 30 people in it, and I'd still watch her sex video if she was in it because she's hot.
Well, of course, if that's what you want from her, right?
But, I mean, somebody like, I don't know that Michael Vick will ever play football again, so maybe you won't have the chance to support him or not. But I'm sure there are a lot of people. He's the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons who's being indicted today for running a dog fighting ring for the last 5 years. There are a lot of people out there in this last few weeks, I'm sure, who have taken off their Atlanta Falcons Michael Vick jersey and have just said, that's it. I'm done. I can't support a guy. I can't look up to a guy who behaves that way.
Well,
something like that, I think, understandable.
And yeah, and that one was especially grotesque.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't know the details of what Michael Vick was doing, I mean, it's as bad as drowning, electrocuting, just straight torture of dogs.
Yeah.
And people can't abide that. I mean, that's not the kind of thing people want to see anyway. But
certainly
Bean's
not.
Right. He's not going to play football probably ever again.
Now, on the other side of that coin, for instance, assistant producer Alex and I were talking yesterday, Super Horror. She says she can't support Tom Cruise anymore, and she was a huge Tom Cruise fan. Loved Tom Cruise, thought he was a great actor, loved his movies. At this point, he's so wacko that she's done with him as an actor. Not interested in his movies anymore because he's the crazy Scientologist dude.
And part of it is that she can't. He doesn't get lost in roles for her anymore.
Yeah, that's harder. I mean, that's a good example because I do like Tom Cruise movies, and I think he's always been out of his mind.
Yeah.
And finally, it's just now coming to the surface. But I don't care. I'll still watch movies he's in because I don't expect anything else from him. I know he's crazy.
No, but if it ruins the movie for you, if you just keep seeing that he is Tom Cruise and not whoever he's supposed to be in the movie, I could see where it just wrecks it for you at some point.
I guess I can see that.
You can't get past it.
We're going to take some calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you know what we're talking about, there's somebody who you no longer can support their art, their contribution, whatever it is they offer to the public because of something that's going on with them personally, like Lindsay Lohan. If you've just signed off on Lindsay Lohan because she got arrested again, let's talk to Rob real quick before the break, and then we'll come back with more calls. Robin is on Arcadia, and this is one that people run into all the time. They like the person, but they hate the politics.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Rob.
Hey, I hate the Sheens.
The Sheens? Like
Charlie Sheen, Martin Sheen, Emilio Estevez.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite movie as a kid, Apocalypse Now. My favorite show was Two and a Half Men.
Right.
But because of all their political nonsense and their craziness, I just can't stomach watching their shows anymore.
Really?
I think it's only Martin. Really?
Well, Charlie Sheen's going to come out and get that thing about the Twin Towers being a government.
Charlie thinks that it was an inside job, 9/11.
Oh,
he believes that,
seriously?
Yeah. So you're saying...
But wait a minute, Rob.
Of course it was the Bush administration that did it.
But wait a minute, Rob. I find that funny and yet and ridiculous. But and yet I don't care when I'm watching. If I'm watching Two and a Half Men and he's funny, what difference does it make?
Well, it's these people. They have a real political view, and there's a lot of people out there who follow them wholeheartedly.
I don't think that's true. I totally disagree with this whole everybody's following whatever. I don't know anyone
that follows anyone's politics.
I mean, do you really think there are people out there, Rob, that are following him because he's in Two and a Half Men?
Not him as much, but maybe his father.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that. Well, first of all, give his father some respect. He was the president of the United States for 8 years. Okay, first of all. And second of all, let me ask you this, Rob. Does this carry over into your personal life? Are you unable to be friends with people also whose politics you disagree with? Or is it just from afar you can't support somebody if you don't agree with them politically?
Well, no, I just believe it's a lot of these actors, you know, they're no more educated or less educated than us.
Right, so
then,
why
do you... And yet they're making these political views that are that I believe that affect thousands.
But aren't their political views as valid as yours, whether you disagree with them or not? I mean, why? What does that have to do with what they do for a living?
I believe everybody's allowed their view, no matter how crazy it is or whatever it is. That's part of this country. But I think when you start using, like, your star status to make political views, you know,
I can see
I
that.
Just don't agree with that.
That seems to
okay,
drive people
but
crazy.
Rob, if it was someone whose views you agreed with.
I'm a supporter of the NRA, but I think Charlton Heston's crazy.
Well, he's crazy because he's crazy.
Well, he's crazy. Well, right. How about the question? Rob, let me ask that question again. I don't know if you heard it. Are you able to be friends with people whose politics you disagree with?
Oh, my roommate's hardcore Democrat, and I'm totally opposite. But
so you can be friends with somebody, but you can't watch somebody on a TV show. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Let me state Rob's position, because I think I understand what he's saying, and that is he doesn't want to help that person have a bigger platform to speak from.
Yeah, I mean, you guys hear right? Rosie O'Donnell, right?
Oh, but she's the devil.
But that doesn't have anything to do with her politics. She's just fat and ugly and obnoxious.
Yeah, but how often has she used her position to make a political stance?
You know, I don't have a problem with that, because I think people who have that kind of power think that they're doing good, and you would believe that they're doing good if you agreed with their position. And
you
then if you
Rosie
don't,
O'Donnell
you don't think they're doing good.
No, she's a moron.
No, but if someone
That's
comes
right.
up and is all gung-ho, support the troops, yay the war and everything, and you agree with that, you're not going to run them down for it.
No, I don't really agree with this war, but
no,
I
that's not my
that,
point. My point yeah. is, if they do profess politics that you agree with, you're not going to have a problem with them.
No, I don't think so. I think that they should just be actors, and that's it.
You shut
let
their
the
mouth.
Politicians be politicians. Let the actors be actors.
All right, Rob, we're going to let you go. I'm glad you called, but if you have the time, email me which professions are not allowed to speak their mind politically. Is it just actors? I mean, how about a dentist who talks to people
nope.
in a chair?
Nope.
You know, I mean, I want to know what other professions besides actors. Musicians, I assume. They're out, right?
I see where you're going with that, but yeah, maybe they ain't kind of that way, but I still think that a lot of them just don't have, you know, the view that we have. We work day to day, you know. We don't make the kind of money they make.
I think I agree. Okay, thank you, Rob, for the call. Here's my only thought about that, and that is that there are a lot of people that seem to be worried that a guy like Charlie Sheen, who's on a TV show, is leading the masses of mindless people. I just don't believe that. I think if you think his position is ridiculous, you go, well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
the
you move
people
on.
Who already agree with him, who are already crazy, they go along with him, and that's it. He's not going to persuade anybody.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Well, we have some sports people online. We have some musicians. We have some actors. We have some, we have Kobe. So anyway, we'll get to a bunch of those when we get back. 1-800-520-1066.
Talking about you love their art or used to, you love what they do, but now you can't support them anymore because of something they're doing off screen or off record or off court in this case. Why don't we start with Matt in Whittier, 1-800-520-1067. Something happened and now you just can't support that celebrity that you used to like anymore. Hi, Matt. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Matt.
Who did you used to like but don't anymore?
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Because he's so whiny?
Why specifically?
Well, I've been a fan of his since he was a rookie. I supported him since the rape trial, since the Shaq trade, and now he turns his back on us by demanding a trade.
You supported him during the rape trial?
Well, no, because there are a lot of people who thought that the rape trial was total bogus. She was making it up, and uh-huh. You know, a lot of people thought that was true. But, you know, he's right. When he turns around to his own fans and says, I don't want to be here anymore, that hurts.
Not only that, he comes out of nowhere saying, no, I don't want to get traded. And then a week later, yeah, I do want to get traded. So we don't even know where he stands.
So what happens now for you as a Lakers fan? Do you support the team but not him? Do you turn your back on the whole team? How do you handle it?
Well, as long as he's a Laker, he is the best player in the league, I'll admit it. But I don't like his personality. But I'm to the point where I want to burn all my Kobe Bryant jerseys, pretty much.
Wow.
Right, but as a Laker fan, when you're watching the game, are you now rooting for him to not contribute, to not have a good game and help the Lakers win?
Well, I hope he still stays the same.
Right, you want the
not
Lakers to do well.
I hope his skill stays the same. I'll admit, he's the best player in the league. I just don't like his personality.
I got you. All right, a lot of people turned on him with the Shaq thing, too, you know, at the very beginning.
Right.
So it's a tough road there. All right, let's go to Josh in Rosemead. Good morning, Josh. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Who do you not like anymore because of what they did?
Tom DeLonge. from former Blink-182.
Because Blink-182 is no more?
Well, not because of that, but mainly because he's a whiny little bitch because of the fact that Blink-182 broke up because of him and everything.
All right, hold on a sec. Josh, I hear what you're saying, but just for equal time here. Tom, do you hear what Josh is saying about you here today?
I didn't break up the band. Planetary travel through space with the demon's breath on a serpent.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So does this mean you won't follow Angels and Airwaves anymore? That's it? You're out of anything he ever does because Blink is no more?
I refuse. I actually took them off my iPod completely after I heard what happened behind Blink-182 and everything.
Took them off your iPod?
Anything.
Josh from serious. Rosemead, take your iPod and cram it up your ass.
All right. I don't know that that's necessary, Tom. Let's try Lori in L.A., I believe, on line two while we're in the rock and roll world. Someone you used to like, but no more. Lori, who are we talking about here?
Green Day.
Green Day?
And yes. What's the problem with them?
Too political?
They are way too political for my taste.
Yeah.
And you can't enjoy their songs because the songs are too political, or you can't enjoy their songs because the stuff that they say that's not on record is too political?
A little bit of both. Mainly it's their new stuff, actually, because they're incorporating their political stuff into their music. And it's like, I'm listening to this so I can, like, enjoy myself, and I don't want to be, like, preached to.
No, I can understand that. But, by the way, Green Day's music has only been getting better, I think.
Well,
that's all
I prefer their old stuff.
My favorite band of all time is Rage Against the Machine. I don't care what they think about politics. And they do a lot of preaching. And some of their songs are overtly like that. But so what? I don't care.
But I think that's how they went into the game. Green Day, all of a sudden, was just like,
All right, but Lori, what about the fact that Green Day does the Simpsons theme in the movie? What about that?
The what?
Simpsons theme in the new movie.
Good for them.
Oh, Lori! Let it go.
All right, thank you for the call.
Well, God forbid an artist would grow up, have a change in their point of view, and express it through their art. I mean, that is clearly unacceptable. I can understand where Lori is coming from.
That's not what we want from our musicians.
They should just sing about breaking up and drugs and stuff like that.
Girls. I agree.
Corey in Lakewood. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Kevin, Bean, Lisa.
Hi. Who is it for you?
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I guess
see that.
That made a lot of people unhappy. I can see that.
You know, just being Jewish and with the whole anti-Semitic stuff. I mean, I love Bret Hart, but, you know, I love all the movies that he's done, especially, you know, Lethal Weapon and things like that. But I can't watch anything that he produces, directs, stars in, anything anymore.
Let me ask you this, Corey, and I'm sure you've had a lot of time to think about this over the past couple of years since that ugly incident with Mel Gibson. I'm in no way supporting what he did, but is there any part of your faith that says he has come out and apologized and has worked hard to win back our favor, and I'm going to forgive him?
Not at all.
Forgiveness is not part of the Jewish faith. I don't know much about it.
Ooh, touche, Bean.
I'm just asking. I don't know. Is that how it works in the Jewish faith? Is if somebody screws up, you hate them forever for life? There's nothing they can do to redeem themselves?
No, but I just think that somebody in that kind of stature and it should be, promoting good things, not negative things. And I think that was a whole publicity stunt. The fact that he went on and apologized for it and says he doesn't mean it. I think that's a whole publicity stunt. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, in my mind, alcohol is a truth serum, and it's going to tell you exactly, you know, things are going to come out when he was drunk that he might not normally have said, but that he did say, and it was done, and I don't think he can come back from that.
I'm making a note. Actors should be perfect. Got it.
Oh, Bean.
I'm just saying. I want to make sure I understand where he's coming from.
Crystal in Laverne. Good morning.
Hello.
I will not accept your celebrity. I will not accept that you have turned. Who?
R. Kelly.
How dare you?
Oh, he's trapped in the closet, guy.
R. Kelly could be a mass murderer, and I would love Trapped in the Closet.
No.
Crystal. He could pee on little girls and pee on my parents, and I would still love Trapped in the Closet.
After seeing that video, I refused to buy any of his music, go to any of his concerts. Well, that was just nasty.
It was nasty, and it wasn't sexy. I'll give you that.
It was the worst sex tape ever.
It hasn't been prosecuted.
But maybe you don't remember Trapped in the Closet, Crystal.
I'm gonna
play you a little bit and just see if you can change your mind.
7 o'clock in the morning, and the rays from the sun wakes me. I'm stretching and yawning in a bed that don't belong to me. And a voice yells, good morning, darling, from the bathroom. Then she comes out and kisses me, and to my surprise, she ain't you.
And then her husband came home, and then he went in the closet, and then his cell phone rang, and then the cop came over, and then there was fighting, and then there was a midget, and there was cherry pie. Come on! Crystal!
Nope, I'm sorry, Crystal. We reject you totally. R. Kelly is the only celebrity that gets a free pass, but thanks for the call.
Time for the showbiz.
For a gay dude, he sure has a lot of babies.
He does,
yeah,
I know.
Guy's having another effing daughter every time I turn around.
I know,
it's like a rabbit hutch over there at his house, the way they're popping out.
He's an adopt-a-king.
It's madness. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Elvis. He won Next Best Thing last night. Did you watch the finale of Next Best Thing?
No.
What is Next Best Thing? What are they the next best of?
You've missed all season of Next Best Thing?
Is this the... That's not the bad celebrity impersonator
yes.
show, is it? Oh.
And Elvis
I didn't know that was
won.
Still on.
What a surprise. Elvis swept America's votes and was the winner for the
it's
Next Best Thing competition.
Aren't
Dude,
we done with Elvis?
You would think.
Come on.
The last two guys in the roundup before they voted, Elvis and Frank Sinatra were the two impersonators that made it all the way. And before that, it was Lucille Ball. The top five were Lucille Ball, Frank Sinatra, two Elvises, and a Little Richard.
So the people watching that show are 60 and above?
Gotta be. I couldn't believe
wow.
it. I mean, the guy was uncanny. But he's a professional Elvis impersonator in Vegas. That's his gig. That's what he does.
Then
it hardly seems like the spirit of the show. I thought it was like regular people coming out and, you know, auditioning
yeah.
stuff. This guy's like, thank you very much. Oh, I'm so glad I won. I'll see you all in Vegas. Come see me in Vegas. It's like, dude, you're already making money as an Elvis. You should win $100,000.
That's way bogus.
But had I known that the show was hosted by Michelle Merkin.
Who's that?
Who is...
I don't know what she does. I don't know where she comes from. I just know we need more of her.
Why, is she hot?
She's freaking insane.
Really?
She's nuts.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Diabolical. Telling you, she's the hottest thing on television right now.
Fantastic.
Stunning.
Can we start watching now then?
Nope.
Oh.
You gotta wait for next season. By the way, there will be a next season, so.
Excellent.
Good news for Jeffrey Ross. Who's pulling out a paycheck as one of the judges over there, so good for him.
Oh, that's his show, okay.
Yeah, he was the celebrity judges over there. But there was a killer George Bush. He was real good. I thought he was going to win because he looked and sounded just like him. There was a Paris Hilton. I mean, there was a lot of good people who were
I
well
played can't hear you anymore because I'm too busy on michellemerkin.com.
Come on.
So I'll see in a few.
Michelle.
M-E-R-K-I-N.
Merkin, like a pubic wig.
Bean's already on the site. Psycho Mike's over here typing Michelle.
Michael Morgan.
M-U-R-K-I-N. How loud is this world?
Michael Melvin.
M-E-R-K-I-N.
Did you see the way he spelled dinosaur the other day? Did you catch that in his email?
I did.
I thought it was Dinosaur for a minute. Are we still talking about her?
I thought
she was dead.
Dinosaur.
Yeah. This is Michelle Merkin.
Mike's problem
those
is
those of you listening to us on the radio, we're looking at pictures of Michelle Merkin
sorry.
Now.
Well, you are. We're trying because Psycho Mike's typing. Wow. Hey now. Okay.
Wow. It's all right.
Do you think Mike grew up pretty so he didn't have to learn to spell and be
clearly.
Smart and stuff?
Of course. Yes. Yeah. He's like a spoiled bitch.
Yep.
He's all right.
Like,
seriously.
Just a moron.
Dude, look at other pictures of her, because that's not even close to being the best picture of her.
Yeah, the media gallery is where you want to go.
Is there a picture of her with a Merkin?
Hey, guys, we're on the air still. You know that, right?
It doesn't matter. Look at her.
Ralph.
Now, click that one up. Get that
by the way,
size.
It does a lot of good to come in the day after the show wraps up and say, hey,
look,
you got to see this hot chick who's hosting a TV program.
I didn't know until I was flipping around the channels last night, and they said, oh, it's America's Next Best Thing. I was like, oh, I heard about this. I'll check it out. And then I got sucked in. So, all right, let's talk about the news, shall we? Congratulations to Lisa Bonet. You remember her from The Cosby Show. She's a mom again. Gave birth to a baby girl. Over the past weekend. She's 39 years old. The baby daddy is 27.
Cougar.
Yeah.
He's Jason Momoa, best known for his work as an actor on Stargate Atlantis.
Yes.
Oh, Roland just expressed himself in his pants. Lisa Bonet, of course, already has a 18-year-old daughter, Zoe, from her relationship with Lenny Kravitz. So, 18, newborn. Doesn't that seem like committing a crime right if you got out of jail? You got an 18-year-old, and you can push him out of the nest. You got some time to yourself. Oh, no, here we go. Another 18 years
again.
So, I guess, congratulations. Joe Pesci. You remember him from Goodfellas and from Casino. Very talented actor. The Landlord. Oh, maybe not that one so much.
If I was in your situation, I'd want to get through this whole thing as quickly and with as little pain as possible. So, you know, let's try our best to make it a simple in-and-out procedure.
The National Enquirer says Pesci
was in Atlantic City over the weekend and apparently hit the jackpot. He is engaged to Angie Everhart.
Oh, my
Whoa.
God.
The supermodel,
the 37-year-old supermodel. She weighs in at about 125, 5'11".
That's not right.
He is 64.
Short, dumpy.
5'4".
Yeah.
2'8". 208, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Nuts. Nuts.
Maybe he has a large estate that he will be leaving her soon.
I don't know. How much money could he make?
Interesting.
I don't know either.
I don't think going fishing with Danny Glover paid that well when he made that
one. I'm just guessing. I'm trying to think what the incentive would be.
There's rarely been as good an actor who's made more bad movies than Joe Pesci, by the way.
Wasn't he in, was Joe Pesci in the Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag or whatever that was called? Was that one of his, too?
Oh, yeah.
Star.
Never saw a check he didn't like, that Joe Pesci. So, congratulations. And the Walt Disney Company has announced it will become the first major Hollywood studio to ban smoking in its movies.
Well, that's just absurd.
Apparently, smoking by actors and actresses?
Yes, no characters in their movies will smoke. Oh. The films made by the Walt Disney Company, of course, their family-oriented fare, the Disney brand films, will ban smoking from those films. Which I can completely understand. However, they said they're also going to discourage it in the films made and distributed by Touchstone and Miramax, its adult labels.
Guys, a character might be written to smoke.
No.
What is the problem with that?
No.
Can they eat trans fats on screen?
No. Oh, sure, they can do that.
That's fine.
That's got to be next, right?
I wonder if they would ban murder or violence in the Touchstone and Miramax
films.
No. Nope. That would happen. Because look, if movies are going to make you do whatever you see, if you see somebody smoking in a movie...
That's the way it works.
And it works automatically that you go out and buy yourself a pack of Parliaments...
Right, that's how it works.
Then I think you should also cut down on gunplay and strangulation and stabbings.
That's never been a problem.
A guy in a movie who's feeding his girlfriend into a wood chipper, but is smoking a cigarette as he does it, have to blot out the smoking part, leave in the stuff in his girlfriend in the wood chipper.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
But we love the Walt Disney Corporation.
We do. Everything they do
they're terrific.
They do great work.
Best sponsors ever.
You should do everything they say and buy everything they sell.
Oh, this just in. Well, we agree with this ban.
Yes, we do.
Yes, excellent.
In fact, I'm going to quit smoking because Disney says so.
Okay.
And somebody might see you smoke, and then they'll start smoking too, Ralph.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Blake Edwards, movie writer and director, responsible for the Pink Panther movies with Peter Sellers, some very, very funny movies. Others as well, 85 years old today. Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones is 64. Helen Mirren, who played Queen Elizabeth in The Queen, won an Oscar for that.
No,
62
it.
Years old today.
Bean, you have to
now
think.
Now we got
to
take it back.
Here's what you have to think, Bean. You
She's
have to
so
think.
Hot.
I'm not only ringing the bell for myself, but all men.
For all mankind.
You have to think that way, because nobody else on the planet thinks she's hot.
I think she's brilliant.
How dare
I think
you.
She's talented. Not hot.
Who's her famous director husband that she's married to?
Taylor Hackford.
He thinks she's hot.
Yes, he does. He has to. He's married to her. We're not.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts me every time you do that.
Kevin Spacey, actor extraordinaire. He's 48 years old today. Sandra Bullock, she is 43 years old today. Of course, married to Jesse James, legendary, legendary outlaw. Used to rob banks.
No. This is the motorcycle guy. Different Jesse James.
They didn't have motorcycles in the old West, Bean. Are you nuts? He rode a horse.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm confused.
Kate Beckinsale. 34 years old today. And Jeremy Piven, our buddy from Entourage. Emmy Award winner. He's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, money. Oh, because I like to chug big black ones. I like to put them in my mouth and kill them.
It's the Kevin Bean Show at K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. That's Muse. Yeah, we got more tickets you can win and another chance for the grand prize drawing tomorrow morning to send you to Colorado to see the band at Red Rocks and go horseback riding with Muse at a dude ranch. I know, it sounds crazy, but that's what we're giving away. Petros, you want to introduce your friend to us here? Who's the guy you got here in the studio?
Petros, say introduce him for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome my partner on the PMS show, Matt Money Smith.
You know. Yeah! He sent number one, why are Lisa May's breasts still growing?
I know. What's up with her today? She's insane.
They're just growing.
I think my shirts are shrinking.
She's wearing the shirt today.
Sometimes
is,
you can't tell.
Is screaming for relief.
She's way booby today.
I worked here for, 8 years?
Yeah.
I sat next to you for many
right
of those.
Here, baby.
Your breasts are growing.
You think?
It's remarkable. I don't know what you've stumbled upon, what secret, but yeah. Share it with the rest of the ladies of this fine nation of ours, please. Petro says you won't have him in anymore because he's 250 pounds of a wrecking machine, and Mike, your spindly legs yeah. will not be able to hold you when he comes at you.
Ooh. All right.
I heard you.
He said he's coming in and he's taking everyone out.
I heard him mouthing
Except
off
Lisa
the other day.
May.
Thank you.
I heard him mouthing off the other day talking about how we make fun of his lisp and that the next time he comes in, he's going to kick our asses. Yeah. It went a little something like this.
I will take his fat Slovakia slurping ass.
It went a little
out.
Something like this.
I'm really tired of them lambasting me every morning on the air because I might have a little bit of a vocal problem, a speech impediment. But the truth be told, I go in there slow and I give them the gold. This is how they treat me. This is how they treat me, money.
Is it time for a steel cage death match yes. between you and well, Petros, yes. Mike? Is that what needs
yes.
to happen?
Yes. Yes.
He did say after kicking everyone's ass, he would act like Attila the Hun and throw Lisa May over his shoulder and carry her out
carry
to his
her
own
out.
Village.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yes.
I have to think about that.
How about
hey,
that?
Hey, the reason we're bringing up Petros and the reason we're having this conversation with Money is they work together as the PMS show at AM 570 in the afternoons. And the reason we wanted Money to come in specifically today is because we still don't have a sports guy because the station's still cheap. It's only been a couple of years.
It has and been exactly 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like money. This is the worst period ever for sports PR. It's almost every sport but hockey, it seems like, is just in the middle of some sort of a nightmare, right? Am I right about that?
Really, a lot of good feel good stories out there.
Sure, you got the Michael Vick.
I mean, if you take the inventory, what's the NFL got going on? Well, they got Michael Vick. He's being arraigned today and will enter his not guilty plea. And I'm sure he won't have the charges read back to him when he's standing in court because, of course, he has that choice and he doesn't want to hear those again.
Right.
It's funny, though. You know, football players of all the sports get in the most trouble. And I'm sure that's just because of the violence surrounding the game. They're violent people. They have to be in order to play that sport. Yet the outrage of, and look, I'm not going to make light of killing dogs and hosing them down and sticking an electric wire in their side or picking them up and slamming them against the wall.
Yeah, he did all this stuff.
That said, there is more uproar about Michael Vick than Ray Carruth, who killed his pregnant girlfriend, or Michael Pittman, who ran his Humvee into his pregnant wife's Mercedes. I mean, PETA, whatever the hell PETA does, they ought to pass it on to people that represent battered women because
yeah.
They weren't getting the attention that dead pit bulls bred to fight are.
Yeah, you know what it is, though? It's not normal. You don't hear about it every day. Unfortunately, you get desensitized to violence against women or violence against any human being. But when something like this comes along, and it's so extreme.
Yeah, picking up a dog and slamming it on the ground to kill it definitely will stoke
it's
the
shocking.
Fire.
Yeah.
It does.
But let me ask you this, and so far I have been impressed with the way the Falcons have handled it. I mean, I doubt the guy's going to play football again. I mean, that's the sense I get right now with what I'm hearing from the league and from the Falcons. But is it possible that there were people on his team that didn't know about this over the last 5 years that it's been going on? Where were they before he was arrested?
When you hear the comments from some of the players around the league, it'd be hard to defend his teammates to say they couldn't know.
But why? Do other players know?
Well, they interact. They're with each other for 6 months out of a year. They're training camp together. I mean, this seemed to be something he was pretty deep into, I mean, according to the allegations. So you would assume some of them knew. You know, when the guys like Clinton Portis, you remember the infamous soundbite, man, they're just dogs. Who care about them dogs?
But how can somebody not have spoken up about this? How can this have been okay for a number of people to know about?
I think it's that, you don't rat out your teammates or your friends, no matter what.
He's their franchise. He's their superstar. Yeah.
Well, that said, I think the guy that's replacing him, when you think about what Michael Vick is and how he plays and the image he presents, I mean, Joey Harrington, very close. A very similar...
Is he?
Yeah, well, small white guy that likes to play the piano and is pretty well educated. Okay. I mean, I can see him.
So now they have a gay quarterback.
Yeah, to some degree.
All right. Yeah. Excellent.
No doubt. And, I think what happens in Atlanta, and it's funny, you mentioned Arthur Blank, who, if you don't know who Arthur Blank is, he's the guy behind Home Depot. That's the owner of the Falcons. So very smart, shrewd businessman, been very successful over the course of his life. And my understanding is he's not happy with the approach that the NFL took because the commissioner, he's a new commissioner, Tagliabue, of course, is gone. Now this guy, Roger Goodell, is the new guy.
Right.
And one of the things he wanted to do, he's tired of the off-field behavior of his players and the image in which the NFL presents to its fans and businesses in corporate America. So he started to crack down. Guys like Adam Pac-Man Jones got booted from the league for a year, and Tank Johnson, who had multiple arrests for 4 games, and that list goes on. And so his solution to this was, hey, while this is going on, just stay away from training camp. We'll pay you your money, Michael, but stay away. Well, you know, Arthur Blank says, what the hell am I paying him for? You know, he's brought PETA to my headquarters out on my sidewalk. He's not going to play for me. Why am I paying him this money? I want to suspend him the maximum four games that I can.
Oh, I see.
And cut his payoff.
So he wants to make it worse than the NFL.
So there's kind of this tug of war between the Falcons and the NFL.
It's not his choice as the owner?
I think there's some legalese to it as well. It's you know, he doesn't have any priors like these other guys did that I've suspended.
And he hasn't been convicted of anything.
He has not
either.
Been convicted of anything. That said, I mean, we have talked to a handful of legal experts, and they say, you know, look, when it's the feds, and the feds spend 3 months on an investigation, and they know it's going to be a high-profile case, a big name like Michael Vick, one of the most popular athletes in America, they're not going to press charges or you know, drop charges against him unless they know. They know they've got him, and that's bad news for Mike, because he's got, I mean, this has to get some jail time.
He was pretty dumb to breed the dogs in Virginia and then bring them into Georgia. That's where the feds got involved, right? Because of interstate commerce, right?
Yeah, they said that will definitely increase the penalty, but because the crimes are so egregious and you know, I think when you talk about what the sentence is, you take the fortunately, you take the celebrity status and how big a star they are, and you combine that with the crime that was committed and maybe how offensive that crime is, and that maybe determines what kind of sentence they're going to get. And our understanding is the judge in this case is
a mean mofo.
Yes. Uh-oh. Is very strict, well respected, tends to hand out heavy sentences to prove points, and that apparently, if Mike is convicted, is not going to be good for him because it could be a heavier sentence.
Yeah, he could get up to 6 years, I guess, at this point, just on the federal charges, right?
Yes.
Okay, and there still could be state charges to follow. We have to take a break. Matt Money Smith is here from AM 570. There's so much more, as we said, going on with sports. Obviously, Tour de France scandal is happening, but it's only bicycling, so no one cares.
Well, isn't that funny, though? You know, everyone, you racist bastard. You're talking about Mike Vick.
It's bicycling.
When the hell have we ever talked about cycling?
Want to, because it's dumb.
Yeah, it'd be bigger news if the youth and government sector of Servite High were taking drugs than the Tour de France kids.
NBA ref with the point shaving scandal, we'll get into that. Barry Bonds this week is probably going to be the week, or next probably at the latest, the way he's going with the home runs.
It at Dodger Stadium, Barry.
All of that when we come back with Matt Money Smith after this on K-Rock.
Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Darn.
He hung up.
That's so funny. He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes it even better.
Matt Money Smith with Coach Ditka from a few years ago on the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the all-time great moments as far as I'm concerned. That was just true love that was not returned.
Yeah, we were pitched Ditka.
I don't think
I've
ever laughed
out,
as much.
Promoting. I said, you know what? You tell Ditka he can eat an ass, all right? You tell him he can find somewhere else to peddle his wares.
This is Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. That's Matt Money Smith from Extra 570 in with us. I heard you say this morning, guys, that Michael Vick may never play football in the NFL again. How can you say that when the Oakland Raiders are still in the league? The question you should be asking is what year he will become their starting quarterback. Sincerely, Matt from Culver City. Well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about the Raiders as an option for Michael Vick.
That's a great point. Although the Bengals have become the Raiders
that's true.
Of old. There's no question about that.
All right, the Bengals.
No, not those Bengals.
Sorry.
Money, tell us about the NBA referee. What in God's name is a referee doing working for the mob?
Tim Donaghy. A couple things jump out at me. Number one, the guy looks like a tool. I don't know if you've seen pictures of this guy. I mean, he just looks like a guy that rocks bikini underwear. Number two, referees, and you know me. I mean, I watch 150 NBA games a year. Referees are like white noise. You don't really notice them. And now that there's pictures of this guy everywhere, we got to do something about their uniforms.
Ugly they are?
Yeah, these poor guys are wearing Sansa belt slacks. They're polyester slacks. No wonder he's pissed off.
You might be missing the point.
What's that guy was
shaving points for the mob.
Well, the idea is a referee can affect, one referee can affect the outcome of a basketball game rather easily because there's two games that people seem to be focusing on more than any others when it comes to this guy. Donaghy. One is a Knicks Heat matchup in which the Knicks were favored by 4 points.
Right.
And they shot 37 to 9. 37 free throws for the Knicks to 9 free throws for the Heat. It was a 4-point spread, a 4.5-point spread. They were up by 4. and he whistled a foul with like 11 seconds left in the game.
Yes.
And put the Knicks on the line, and they converted two free throws, then covered the spread. That's one they're focusing on. The other one is a little bit more significant, and that is...
it wasn't the Western Conference Finals, was it?
Well, you'll be more interested in that it was the Western Conference Semifinals
right.
with the Suns and the Spurs. And Donaghy whistled Amari Stoudemire, a first-team NBA center, you know, which acknowledges that he's the best center in the NBA. Donaghy whistled him for two fouls in the first quarter. He ended up only playing 21 minutes that game. And in over the course of the season, he averaged over 40 minutes a game.
Right.
So probably significantly altered the outcome. Spurs, I believe, are favored by 3.5. They won by 7. And those are the two that people are focusing on. So,
but there's not another ref on the court to say, hey, what's going on over there?
Well,
I disagree with that call.
I think the problem is it's so arbitrary. You know, it's really just a matter of interpreting the rules, and each official is different. Some guys feel any contact is... Because you know what? There's a foul on every play.
There is.
Guys
get in the NBA,
yes.
There's a foul on every play. They just call whatever they try
right.
to be consistent
it's
with.
It's however they want to call it. So it's really hard to you know, follow that unless it's a situation like that Knicks game where it is kind of maybe the clock's winding down. Why'd you whistle that foul? You know,
how was he connected to the mob? I didn't hear that.
The word is that he bet football and he got into some trouble and fell way behind. And these two dudes in Philadelphia, I can't remember what family they said they were linked to.
I heard it was Gambino.
Gambino's, that's
yeah.
right. And approached him and said, you know, this is speculation. We got a way you can make this right, and there's a few ways. One is, who are the referees making that knowledge public, which isn't? What referee crew is refereeing that game? Because guys have reputations for calling a lot of fouls, which helps things get to the over, or maybe,
right.
you know, that sort of deal. And the other is that he was actually hitting overs, because I guess prior to when they assumed he was involved, you know, they put that over-under, total points scored, 160, 180, whatever it may be. Prior to his involvement, he hit the over in his games 41% of the time. Post-involvement, 54% of the time, which they say is a wild swing that you
so
couldn't
say is coincidental.
So he changed
his calls to try and make a difference so the people who were putting big money on it could win big money.
And I'll tell you, you know, people are focusing on what this will do for the game, how it will tarnish the game, the beauty of the game. What about us gamblers? I mean, what about
right.
guys that had faith in those lines that were posted on those boards
that's
in
right.
Vegas? And we're really getting screwed, you know? We can't get refunds.
Money
hurt us.
Is it reasonable when Commissioner Stern comes out and says he believes this is an isolated incident? So far, there hasn't been anything to suggest that there are other people involved in this, right?
It can be, because like I said, one guy really can affect a game. Even though there's a crew of three referees for each game, one guy could affect the outcome. So that is possible. Now, that said, someone we had Jimmy Vaccaro, a guy from Vegas, on yesterday, and he made a good point. He said, you know, you got to remember, the referees were involved in a plane ticket scam a number of years ago where they would be booked first-class tickets. They would then turn those tickets in for coach, keep the difference.
I didn't know
and,
that.
And not report it as income, and the feds went after them. And so this is not a group of people, you know, historically that has abided by the letter of the law. So that's something to keep in mind.
Excellent.
But as of right now, we you know, they seem to believe it was an isolated incident.
Is Kobe being a good boy again?
Kobe's being a quiet boy right now. I think
good.
He realized what happened when he did those four or five interviews over the span
with
of
you.
Yeah,
we kind of
started that mess. But
it wasn't money's fault.
Yes,
you never would have put words
hey,
in his
money
mouth.
Money said, "Hey, you don't want to play for the Lakers anymore, do you?"
I said, basically what happened before he came on, we were told, look, he wants to talk. So anything you want to ask him, ask him. Well, hey, if you're giving that kind of free reign, Kobe. Look, if Kobe can't be happy that the Lakers re-signed two white guys, I don't know what's going to make him happy. I mean,
when you get
Chris Mim and Luke Walton, you know what? I think the Lakers are going to be all right. And I know people are going to say I'm shilling for the team. I think they're all right. I really do. The bottom line is he and Lamar need to learn how to play together. And if they do, they'll be a good player. Kobe has realized that he cannot say things about the Lakers in public anymore because there was backlash. He's a very smart guy, an observational guy, and he knows that that didn't work out well
for
him.
He was smart before he did all that, though.
He was.
He used the press well.
He was frustrated. He was very frustrated. I think what happened was he heard Mitch and a couple and Dr. Buss go on some shows like ours, and say, you know, we believe it, you know, that there's a core here and we just need to maybe tinker a little bit, and that just made him go crazy.
Sure.
You got to be kidding me.
But you heard our caller last half hour who said he's out when it comes to Kobe. He can't root for him anymore because he feels like Kobe directly slapped him as a Laker fan in the face. I mean, there's going to be some repercussions from that, right?
I would imagine so. I think if you're Kobe, there's one thing you can't take away from Kobe, or you can't label Kobe, and that's lazy. He is the most competitive. He busts his ass more than any other player in the league the second he steps on that floor, and I think people appreciate that. But that also lends itself to that personality of, I'm working my ass off. I always want to win. Why can't these other guys, come up to that level with me? Well, because they're not as good as you, and that's very hard for star players to accept. And Michael Jordan got himself in this trouble. People, of course, gloss over it because the Chicago media.
Not this bad, though, did he?
Well, I mean, he said Brad Sellers was a joke and that the front office wasn't helping him out. He did that, yeah, but it was never made that big a deal because the Bulls never had any success prior to that, so they were never really a story until he came along in the first place. But with Kobe, I think eventually he'll realize he has to play. He'll play very hard. He'll try to win, and if he really doesn't like it, after 2 years, he'll bail, or they'll trade him after next season.
I gotta tell you, I haven't heard this anywhere else, but I'm happy someone is that upset about not winning.
There is.
I would hope the management of the team would be that upset.
I think there is that position, and some people have it. The only thing is when you come out in public and you say that, you diminish the value of the assets that you're trying to trade. If other teams know that they have to placate their superstar, then they're not going to offer you as much for Andrew Bynum or Lamar Odom because they know you're in a tough spot.
Matt Money Smith is here from AM 570. What's the plan? Can you stick around for one more money
sure.
so we can talk about bonds? And plus, we never heard how Karate Kid versus Teen Wolf ended up on your show. We need to find out what the answer is to that when we come back right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. And it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:45.
I'll tell you, some things don't change, that's for sure.
No, we have not become more
Lisa's
observant since you left the building.
Lisa's breasts may have gotten larger.
That's it, though. We're not any better.
Yeah.
Lisa, is this a water weight? Is this a swelling thing? Because that's not as sexy as what I'm thinking. Or what's
it's
going on with you?
It's just a tight shirt. That's all it
that
is.
That shirt is just screaming for relief. Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I hope they make underwear. Because if that's what it is, I need me a pair.
There you go. Listen, Matt Money Smith is here from AM 570. Of course, he does the show with our pal Petros every afternoon. But we have him in because we don't have a sports guy, and that's lame. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about. But first, let's settle. What's the Teen Wolf debate that's been going on your show? Teen Wolf versus Karate Kid. What's the deal on that?
Well, every Wednesday we do a film fight and we select two movies, and we figured if these are officially the dog days of sports talk radio, that why not pit two of the finest films in the history of cinema against one another and get that answer to the eternal question, what is the better film, Teen Wolf or Karate Kid?
They're both so great, it's almost like picking between your children, though.
It really is.
But who comes down on which side?
Well, we had to flip a coin because we did not want to seem as though we were partial to one movie or the other. So I ended up defending Karate Kid. P got Teen Wolf. And while it was very close, Karate Kid ended up winning 8-1.
That would be my choice.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf is undisputably the greatest movie ever made about basketball, though.
Yes, because if you talk about actors that have no athletic prowess whatsoever playing a role in which they were supposed to be an athlete, right. Michael J. Fox takes the cake.
That's
the one. He shoots free throws with a jump shot and catapults the ball from his chest on his free
throw. And he's like 5'5",
yes.
right?
And the Wolf, when it's the Wolf playing basketball, he's like 6'7".
Here's what I like about their sports show. Very little sports.
Yeah.
Almost no sports.
That's true. That's true.
At any point, you can tune into their show and it will not be about sports.
Between Matt Leinart and Bryn Cameron and Teen Wolf and Karate Kid yesterday, that was pretty much 3 hours of the show.
All right, let's get to the big elephant in the room, which is Barry Bonds, who is two away from tying, three away from breaking the most cherished record in all of sports, which is Hank Aaron's home run record, all-time career 755. It's probably going, although he's been kind of slumpy this year, it's probably going to be within the next 2 weeks, right? Wouldn't
yes,
you say?
I would say
okay.
so. And people
what
expect-
happens at that stadium where it happens? Assuming it's not at home, if it's anywhere other than San Francisco, what's the reaction like from the crowd? Does he hear more boos than he's ever heard in his life, or are people caught up in the excitement of seeing history being made?
Oh, no, he'll be booed. I think there's no question he will be booed. There will be a smattering of cheers in the crowd because people that want to see that record broken or Giants fans, it's a well-followed team.
When does he play in Los Angeles?
I don't have the exact timeline, but I believe, I think it was a 7-game homestand followed by a trip to Los Angeles. So I believe they are on game 4 today of that homestand. So I think he'll play in San Francisco through the weekend and then show up here.
I think
on
that
Monday.
When he comes to Los Angeles, there should be so much.
There will be.
Booing.
Oh, there will
noise.
Be.
stuff thrown on the field, people crashing the field. They should cancel the game.
That, you know, he plays left field, and the Dodger Pavilion is legendary for
But I'm saying not
violence.
Just the pavilion. I'm saying the entire place needs to go crazy. Yeah.
If it happens, I can't imagine there's any scenario in which the Giants, Major League Baseball, would want to see him break that record at Chavez Ravine.
That would be awesome.
It would be. I mean, it really would.
Because of the response would be so negative.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, there are people now coming out that, well, he's never tested positive. Even if it were, the drugs weren't illegal at the time, you know, in the game in which he was, you know, at the time he was supposedly was taking them. I think, and people, again, there's always racial overtones to these stories when it involves an African American, but this is the most hallowed record in all of sports, Bean. You mentioned that.
But there's no real racial. I mean, that's just made up.
Especially since the guy who holds the record is a black man.
And I was going to say, if there is, that's part of it, is that what Hank Aaron had to go through, you know, when he was breaking the record of Babe Ruth as a black man in that period of time
what
in this country.
What year was that?
It was in the 70s. It was in the early 70s when he ended up breaking it. And, he had to go through a lot. I mean, it's security, and this is unheard of.
Death
having
threats,
security
trade,
yeah. Death threats, I mean, countless.
But here's what I hate. The guy, Barry Bonds, is a complete a-hole. And yet everybody's, it's because he's black. No, it's because he's an a-hole.
Right.
Well, and it's the eye test. He fails the eye test. I mean, his wrists are the size of Don Francisco coffee cans. They're giant. I mean, it's crazy to see pictures of him next to each other. One of the big things is, and, you know, thanks to Psycho Mike for educating me on human growth hormone and the fact that everything grows. So this man's feet, you know, but between the ages of 37 and 43, his feet have grown 2.5 sizes.
Are you kidding?
Does that happen? There's no way that happens in any other circumstances.
So,
right?
For people that say he's never failed a test, well, you know what? When your head's twice the size as it used to be, and your feet grow 2.5 sizes,
Kevin.
You know,
my feet are the same. My head's just growing. I don't know what.
What's really tragic, though, is without the steroids, and I'm just assuming, like everybody else, he would have gone into the Hall of Fame and been considered one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And let's not forget, the guy was a multi-year batting champion long before any of the steroid stuff happened. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete, but he certainly wouldn't be closing in on 755.
Yeah,
either.
I mean, I think it would be one of those great baseball debates. You know, who do you take? You take Bonds? Do you take Griffey? Or do you take A-Rod? You know, that would have been kind of the debate of this generation of players, and granted, he preceded those guys a little bit, but those would have been, I think, the big three. And now, unfortunately for him, and a lot of people say that that's the tragedy, is that here's a guy that would have been in that conversation. Instead, he's just an asterisk.
That's right. Now, why the change of heart from the commissioner of baseball, who previously had said he would not make an effort to be in the stands in case the record is broken during that game, now says he will be?
And by the way, is there a worse job in America than commissioner of a major league at this particular point? I mean, Bud Siegel has to deal with this. You got David Stern talking about crooked refs, and Goodell is dealing with dogfighting. I think Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, is in a no-win situation. But, you know, if he doesn't go, well, what's been proven? What has ever been proven against Barry Bonds to suggest that he is taking, you know, there's no evidence. Right, and you can't unfortunately do that.
And Babe Ruth was an a-hole, too, and they still let him break the record.
Well, and then don't forget, you know, the Babe Ruth record was when there were the Negro Leagues. So how can you consider that record legitimate when there, you know, people weren't allowed to play baseball like Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson, and he was breaking these records? Is that a legitimate record? But not really.
I'm not a fan of fans behaving that poorly where you can actually interrupt the game.
Be careful.
But when he comes to Los Angeles,
they will. I'm telling you, man.
I'm telling you, that place needs to erupt.
And I don't think it needs to be encouraged because
encouraging people to erupt.
I'll tell you a quick pavilion story. I was in the pavilion once, and there was an opposing fan sitting in front of this older gentleman who was there with his son and his grandson. I think like three generations watching the Dodger game, and these two guys were behind him heckling the guy in front of him. Hey, ASA, you should take that Reds jersey and go behind the dugout if you're smart. They're screaming at him for about an inning.
Right.
And then they decide to take a soda and throw it at the guy. Well, it hits the poor old man, who's probably in his 80s. And he turns around and he's like, guys, what the hell? Hey, old man, you shut up too, or we'll come down there and kill you. I mean, that's all you need to know about the pavilion.
But I'm not talking about fan on fan.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm talking about unified focus on that man.
They will focus.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. By the way, I think in the history, correct me if I'm wrong, I think in the history of baseball that I'm aware of, Money, only one game has ever been canceled due to the fans, and that was the famous Disco Riot in Chicago, right?
Yeah, Disco Demolition.
That's what Kevin is hoping for. Kevin is hoping for so many fans on the field that the Dodgers have to forfeit and lose the game, right?
Only in this particular instance.
Well, you know, I mean...
Other time. Just Barry Bonds.
Hank Aaron hit 7-15 off Al Downing and the Dodgers. So, you know, they gave up that historic home run in which Hank passed Babe Ruth, and it might be interesting
to do it once again.
I'd also like to encourage again something that people don't seem to be listening to, and that is just walk the A-hole.
Or just hit him.
Or throw the ball at him.
Hit him.
Yeah, I know.
Hit him is the way to go. That's a great idea.
One pitch to the side. Yeah. Another pitch to the side. He's on first base. Done. Yep.
And then another one to the head. All right, we're out of time. Matt Money Smith along with Petros, the PMS show 4 to 7 in the afternoon on AM 570. Matt Money, try to get us a sports guy, man. Make some calls.
I'll go down and talk
something.
To your boss right now.
It's been 2 years, dude. Come on.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Door from floor tile to window treatments, countertops to appliances.
Here's the money shot.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. It is 8:58. We have tickets to give away for the Breakfast with My Chemical Romance coming up just after the top of the hour.
Greatest game ever coming up next.
Could be the
whatever
greatest game
with
ever.
Your Taiwanese karaoke, whatever the hell that brought
Cantonese.
You doing yesterday. Yeah.
Rocks. All right. So if you're an MCR fan or if you're in the MC Army, as they call themselves, 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up after the news. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at KRQFM passing Los Angeles.
Or if you're a chemistry major.
Unfortunately.
You should call in, too.
Unfortunately, yeah. Call now.
We may have the latest Britney Spears song, the first song of her comeback.
Really?
TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. Their offices were delivered a plain brown wrapper today that held inside of it a CD that simply said, Britney, get it. And they believe this may be one of the first songs she's recorded in her comeback being leaked to them. Now, there is other stories suggesting that perhaps it was a song that she's recorded as far back perhaps as 2003, but it's just now being leaked. But they believe this is unheard Britney Spears music.
How about that?
That may very well be new music that she's recorded for her comeback. And if this is the case, she's in huge trouble.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Because it blows.
Really?
Here's a little taste from TMZ.com.
No. Kevin, that's not it. That's not it.
Oh, that's goat whore. I'm sorry.
That's goat whore, right.
That's goat whore. No.
We are gonna get
Could we just
get political?
The Reverend Speaker of Gerald Pauly.
Could we just hear the Britney Spears,
okay,
please?
Sorry.
She wants to get it all.
Why would somebody in her position start talking about being insane?
Good
first
question.
Thing out.
Good question.
Look, that's bad. I don't think it's any worse than freaking Fergalicious or any other number
how
of songs that are on the radio right now.
Oh, how dare you?
I'm just saying.
Fergie
that's
makes
the state of
Fergie
pop.
Comes around, she makes my London Bridge come tumbling down.
That's true.
That's how good she is.
That happens.
Good call.
Yeah. Now this sounds like a bad Madonna impersonator. Sounds
it does.
Like the next
yeah.
best thing.
It does sound like a Casio keyboard, first of all.
Yeah.
Or maybe the 20th track that didn't make the last Gwen Stefani album,
without the yodeling.
Right.
So anyway, there may be your new Britney music. Check out TMZ.com for more details. But just like them to get the scoop on,
sure.
on what's happening in the world.
Harvey's producing her follow-up album.
That's right. It's time for our douche update. Over the weekend, Transformers hottie Rachel Taylor celebrated her birthday at the Pure nightclub at Caesar's Palace, which is really just one of the places to go when you're in Vegas, that's for sure. And who sidles up next to her while she's trying to party?
No.
Don't say it.
None
Don't
other.
Say it.
Don't say
than
it.
Than the mind freak, Chris Angel.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
This guy, I thought for a while
that Gloria Allred was the biggest camera whore on the planet.
But she still is, but he's fighting for the
title. Wow, if there's a camera in Vegas, he'll find his way to get in front of it.
Yeah.
And he's just looking creepy, climbing all over her. And I don't know. I don't know how he scores with these hotties, but he's got a long history.
Yeah!
That's him getting behind the velvet rope at Pure. He's on one side of the rope until he's on the other side.
Yeah!
It's a mind freak, man.
Can he use his magic to just disappear?
Apparently not.
No, you didn't. Ah!
Yes. It's hard to move on, isn't it?
It is hard. I can't.
Yeah!
My loathing of him just grows exponentially. Every time I see him someplace.
Yeah!
It makes me angry. It makes me freaking angry. It makes me mind freaking angry.
No, you
didn't. Kevin, what's going on at your house? Is it just a topic that is off limits to discuss now?
Oh, no,
or is your wife still fighting for Chris Angel on the show?
It's full revolt.
Really?
It's you against the girls?
It's me against everyone. My twins.
You need to start kicking some people out of your house. What you need to do.
You pay the mortgage, right? They bring up that name, gone.
Yeah, I don't see them bringing home the big checks. As long as they're under your roof, they'll play by your rules. You lay down the law a little bit. Grow a pair.
Oh.
So pussy.
Trust me. If I was, we would have Chris Angel on the program. We are not.
TV Guide has released the list of the top 5 money-making TV stars here in America. Some of the names are quite surprising. In the top 5.
No,
I don't know
not.
What
okay,
he's
good.
Making, but he's not making that much
okay,
money.
Good.
5 biggest money-making TV stars in America right now. Zach Braff of Scrubs comes in at number 5. He's making $6.3 million a year over there
good
on Scrubs.
Lord.
Wow. Now, his show, if I'm not mistaken, Ralph, is ranked about 90th in the TV ratings.
It's not a hit. It's
yeah.
a great show. More people should be watching. But
I love Scrubs.
I do, too. I think it's brilliant. I think it's one of the best comedies on television right now, by far.
Why aren't more people watching it?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
But I think NBC is so desperate for any sort of comic presence on television that they need that show to stay in their, must-laugh lineup or whatever they
That's
call
what
it
they
on
call
Thursday
it.
Nights.
Must-laugh.
So, yeah, he's making $6.3 million per year. Katie Couric, her new gig over at CBS Evening News, making her $15 million a year. She's number 4.
That's a payoff that's worth it.
Number 3 on the list, making $30 million a year, Judge Judy.
What?
She owns her show. I guess that's what that's all about.
Judge Judy Shineland is making $30 million a year with her TV show.
That's baloney.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense.
It is baloney.
Exactly.
Put words right in Lisa's mouth.
What
right
kind of responsible behavior is that?
It's not. You shouldn't make that kind of money.
It's crazy.
Don't so you get Zippo, nada.
No, and you get 30 mil. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining, sir.
I want you to answer my question.
We don't have an answer for that. $30 million a year.
Simon Cowell makes $45
million
a year.
Jeez.
For putting on that karaoke show.
Wow. Really, honestly, without him, would anyone watch that show?
No. He's the man.
I mean, I don't watch it, but it
he makes his
like
money off of that. Plus, he has a producer. He's got America's Got Talent, which is his.
He's got
boobs.
He's got boobs.
Got boobs, yeah.
And he's got American Inventor. He's also
sure.
his. He's a producer on that. So I'm sure this is a total of all his TV endeavors, giving him $45 million a year.
But that's not number one.
No, no. As you can imagine, number one, Estelle Getty from The Golden Girls.
Oh,
Estelle
my God.
Getty.
Oh,
that doesn't sound.
I would have never thought.
Joel McHale.
Joel McHale. $260 million a year goes to Oprah Winfrey.
I'm so fat.
$260 million a year. Not a lifetime, not a career, a year. $260 million. She should have a fat laughectomy for that kind of money. She should have that surgically removed.
I'm so fat.
Ah, before I get to the birthdays today, I want to give everybody a heads up again. If you're not watching it, if you didn't catch it last week, tonight on AMC, American Movie Classics, the TV channel, TV for movie lovers, Mad Men, new TV series. I know it's summertime, not a lot to watch right now. There's a few shows on cable you should be watching. This is a brand new series you definitely should be checking out if you haven't.
I haven't seen
really,
it.
Really,
really
good.
When is it on?
It's tonight at 10 o'clock, I think. Check your local listings or go to amctv.com and find out more. But if you missed the first episode, they will be rerunning that in conjunction, back-to-back with the second episode tonight, all weekend long. So you can see, you can catch up where you're
at. Did you guys talk about Damages yesterday? FX?
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet either. Great show.
Well, awesome. Great cast. That's Glenn Close and Dead Dancing.
That's another one you should watch.
So there is some stuff, even though it's summertime, you should check out. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I'm so fat.
Kate Beckinsale, who's not so fat, who's so smoking hot. She's 34 years old today. Jeremy Piven, our pal from Entourage, is 40.
Call me Helen Keller because I'm a miracle worker.
Yes, you are. Of course, Jeremy was my co-star, too, for the money. Let's not forget.
You were in that?
Below me. Sandra Bullock is 43 years old today. Kevin Spacey turns 48. Helen Mirren, the queen in The Queen, is 62 years old. And Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones, is 64. And Blake Edwards, legendary movie writer and director, he is 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Super secret location, Tuesday morning, Kevin and Bean, that's us, welcome My Chemical Romance for a breakfast show. Now, this is where the band is going to be performing. The band is going to be taking questions from us. The band is going to be taking questions from you, the K-Rock listeners. If you're a My Chem fan and you want to go, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. I love it when we unveil a new game because it's almost always the first and the last time this game is ever played on our show.
Well, they don't normally work, unfortunately. And the other problem that we have that we really need to talk about is that Omar has been sending in some pretty subpar theme songs lately. You know what I mean? Like some really bad theme songs.
Sometimes he puts four and a half minutes into thought, though, before he sings it.
But I believe for this one, for the My Chemical Romance breakfast tickets, we have a special musical celebrity.
Oh. We outsourced it?
We have outsourced the intro, so it's no longer somebody here from K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your new game.
Do you know your chemicals? Do you know your chemicals?
That's David Bowie.
Hello. This is David Bowie. Kevin and Dean would like to know if you know your chemicals. If you do, you can get tickets to the breakfast with My Chemical Romance. And that would be fabulous. So, do you know your chemicals?
That's a quick man.
Do you know your chemicals? Do you know your chemicals? Do you know your chemicals?
I don't think Bowie is familiar with our short time frame that we have.
Do you know your chemicals is the game? That's the theme song from David Bowie. 1-800-520-1067. And we have a new host that we welcome to the show to help us with the game. Good morning, Professor, Mr. Announcer Man Guy.
Hi, hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you? So nice to talk to you from the laboratory where I am now.
What should we call you again, sir? I'm sorry, I didn't get the memo.
Professor Announcer.
Professor Announcer.
Which is nice and good and nice.
All right,
sure.
Fantastic.
Now, the band is My Chemical Romance. The game is Know Your Chemicals. How is it played, sir?
Well, we'll be talking about the periodic table of chemical elements, you see, which, of course, as you know, was created by Russian chemist Dmitry Mendeleev in 1896.
Sure.
This lays out all the chemical elements. Of course, it ranks them by increasing atomic number, the number of protons in the atomic nucleus.
Okay, we're not going to get into that much science, though, right? This is not. I hope it's not going to be as difficult as it sounds like the way you described it.
I will tell the people what the periodic symbol is on the chart and also give them a clue about the chemical we're talking about, and then they have to guess the chemical and they can win. Hi.
Okay, let's start with Adrian in Playa del Rey. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning.
Adrian!
Yes.
I am an alkali metal with the periodic symbol Li, but I'm also a terrific drug if you're a bipolar nut loaf. What am
lithium.
I? What?
She said lithium!
Yes!
She said lithium, yes.
Yes!
You weren't expecting any winners, were you, Professor Announcer?
That's amazing. She knew it. It's a good thing.
Nicely done.
Adrian is going to be at breakfast with My Chemical Romance on Tuesday. Hey, Professor, forgive me if this question is out of line, but you don't host a telethon for kids in wheelchairs, do you?
When you walk through a storm.
That's what I was thinking. All right. Our next contestant is Samantha. She's calling from Reseda this morning. Samantha, you ready for your My Chemical Romance question?
I sure hope so.
All right. Here's the professor.
My periodic table symbol is Ni, and though I'm often a key element in super alloys, most people think I'm only worth 5 cents.
Nitrogen?
All right, wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
Can you listen to the second half of the question first?
Okay.
Although I'm a key element in super alloys, people usually only think I'm worth 5 cents.
Nickel?
Well, yeah, but she's already answered it incorrectly. She's already been buzzed. I don't know why you're teasing her by having her go back to it.
Goodness.
I'm fascinated by the fact that he completely gave it away.
And she said nitrogen.
And she jumped on nitrogen. All right, let's go to Edwin and Covina. Good morning, Edwin.
Hello.
Edwin, I'm HG on the periodic chart. I'm the only metal that's liquid at room temperature. I kick chemical ass.
Hydrogen?
Sorry, it's
helium?
Mercury.
Mercury.
Liquid metal is mercury in a thermometer in your hiney.
Yeah. Okay. Is it in your hiney
right.
always?
Sometimes.
Okay.
So the game is Know Your Chemicals, Professor Announcer. That's what we're asking them, is to come up with an actual name of the element.
Yes!
Okay. Let's try Lisa in Upland. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi.
Lisa, I'm H-E on the chart. Without me, you couldn't float balloons or talk in a really funny munchkin voice.
Helium.
Yeah!
Nicely done.
Show me! Do me!
Nicely
yeah!
done.
There's no Ed McMahon. There's no tote board. I'm sorry, Mr. Professor.
Sorry.
All right, let's go to Mariella in North Hills.
Hello.
Here's your chemical question. A lot of people think I'm Kal-El's home planet, but actually I'm a gas with the periodic symbol KR.
Krypton.
Well, Krypton is right.
Nicely done.
You're such a good lady, nice person.
Okay, hold on. We'll see you at the breakfast.
I've got time for one more?
Yeah, let's do Nicole in Chatsworth. Good morning, Nicole.
Hey, good morning.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a compliance officer at a porn company.
Hi, Ivanhoe, ways and hi.
Now, compliance officer, that means you verify the age. Is that what you do?
The age, HIV status, that nobody was coerced, yada, yada.
The length.
The size of the Schwanstucker.
Right. Yeah, about I have to measure that personally.
I bet you do, you naughty minx.
We hope to meet you Tuesday at breakfast with my couple romance. Here's your question.
On the periodic chain,
Try that again.
Let me go one more time. On the periodic chart, I'm AL. You find me in siding, foil, and cans. That's versatility, bitches.
That would be aluminum.
Yes. Yeah, aluminum, yeah. Show me, do me, aluminum.
Nicely done. I don't think aluminum can do you, Professor.
You haven't tried hard enough.
I haven't, that's
sometimes
true.
Sometimes I'm lonely. Oh, he.
Then Nicole has seen something to do with aluminum. I'm not sure what. All right, Nicole, we'll see you Tuesday. Thank you, Professor Announcer Man.
Thank you, crazy, stupid, nice boy. Do you know you can't make
sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize. Today, well, it's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. That's what you get. So who deserves a t-shirt? Who do we see on the line that deserves a t-shirt for what they're calling about?
Kevin and Bean t-shirt, all of them. I mean, let's be honest.
The worst calls we should give t-shirts to.
Let's start with Chelsea in Panorama City, by the way, because I heard this story on the news this morning, and I wouldn't have time to talk about it, but this is BS in the first degree. This is outrageous. Hey, Chelsea, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May, June and July, but always in August and September.
Wow.
Very nice.
Wow. Worked out a whole greeting. What's going on?
Well, I'm a little upset due to the fact that the DEA is closing all of these collectives in and around California.
Closing what?
All the marijuana clinics, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, the medical marijuana clinics, 10 of them were raided yesterday and shut down. And again, this is the state of California, which says they're legal, going up against the federal government, which says they're illegal. It doesn't seem like, A, let the doctor decide what medicine is best for the patient, and B, how about figuring out some way that we can live in a country and live in a state at the same time and not be in violation of one of their laws?
The other thing they're doing is sending letters to the people that own the property where these clinics are and telling them that their property could be seized if they continue to rent to the people that have the clinics. Yeah. But they said, and I heard a DEA agent say, it's not a threat, it's just an informative letter. Uh-huh. They're sticking to it.
We will sue you.
Wow, that sucks. That's ridiculous.
It really does.
Well, what's funny about it is the city of West Hollywood owns one of the facilities that was just recently closed down.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Help me out here because I'm having trouble remembering as we're talking about this story.
What you're stoned, dude.
Well, maybe that's it. What is the objection that the other side has to a doctor being able to prescribe medical marijuana to somebody to help their pain and suffering? What is the other side's argument? Because I can't remember what it is.
It's considered a class one substance, which means it's highly addictive and has no medical use whatsoever, whereas to cocaine is considered a class two, which can only be used by ear, nose, eye, and throat doctors and dentists.
I got to go to the dentist.
I'll tell you what the argument
exactly.
is.
Didn't realize.
The argument I hear from people who are against this, which is insane, is that it's just hippies' ways of trying to get drug use legal. There's no medical benefit,
what about
and it's
the people
just like
who,
the slippery slope, and if we let them do that, eventually it'll be legalized.
But what about the people who have glaucoma, and they smoke the marijuana or take the marijuana internally somehow, and it helps them, it makes them feel better? What about those people? Why don't they count as part of the evidence that it does work?
They insist that they can take a pill and get the same benefits.
I'm telling you.
And it's state versus feds, too. That's the problem,
yeah.
right?
I think the honest reason is because there isn't anybody who wants to take on the, hey, you're pro-drug by saying, this is ridiculous. Let's let it be okay.
Yeah.
Where am I going to get my hat, by the way, that says homegrown on it?
I know.
No, that's just entourage. That's just entourage.
It's a good question.
Where are all the politicians who should be old enough now because they came up in the post-60s era that they should be in office and running for office now who would have the balls to stand up and say, yeah, there's no problem with medical
marijuana?
Because
they get branded as pro-drug.
Yeah, look what happened to Clinton.
That's why.
Yeah.
He
had to say he didn't even inhale because he was afraid it was going to be political backlash.
All right, Mirabelle in Montebello.
Yeah,
a lot of bells. A lot of bells
on that one. What'd it do?
What do you call David the King of Mexico playing basketball with another Mexican?
What do you call Dave the King of Mexico playing basketball with another Mexican? I don't know what.
Wait.
Juan on Juan.
Because his middle name is Juan.
Yes.
Hey, Juan.
Stupid joke.
All right, let's, Juan. By the way, it bothers Dave so much, we have to start calling him Juan.
Absolutely.
Did somebody order Mexican?
We called him Juan all day long yesterday. And I said to Dave, I said, if you had just told us your middle name was Juan when we asked, we would even remember what it is.
Right.
But fact that you were afraid of it is what did it.
He's now Dave, the Juan of Mexico.
All right. Let's go to Ulysses in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning. Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, what's up? My name's Ulysses. I just started listening to you guys a couple of weeks ago because my girlfriend got me into it.
Okay.
But I got some inside scoop. How about my boy parties with Kate? Well, my boy and his homies party with Kevin Federline and all of them every once in a while. And a couple months ago, my boy had like a couple beats of Kevin Federline. I don't know if you guys heard of this track. You guys played today with Britney Spears.
Right.
With the same beat that was on one of those sample tracks, which was like five tracks. And we were laughing so hard because from what I heard, he like creates most of his beats on a like really cheap computer laptop.
So you think that K-Fed made the beats that Britney's now using for her new single?
Yep, exactly.
Oh my God. Let's hear that again. Not a very good beat, if you're to ask me.
Wait, here it comes.
But it does seem like if you're Britney with the track record you have, you could afford, you know, Will I Am or whoever you wanted, Justin Timberlake, whoever you wanted to be able to make beats for you.
You don't waste the talent like K-Feds when you've got that, you got an inside track.
I guess.
It'll work with Black the Ripper and Dark Gable.
Let's talk to James down in Glendora. He's on line 8. Kevin Beans, what to do, nephew? 1-800-520-1067. Hey, James, what to do?
What's cracky, lady?
Hey, James.
How are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Good. I got a problem with some people driving their Priuses.
Okay.
I drive a lot. We do service work. I'm driving down the 210 freeway right now, and there's somebody next to me, and they got like three people in the car. They got the access sticker on there. There's mad traffic, and they're not in the carpool lane. Isn't that the whole point of buying the car?
So you're upset that hybrid drivers don't drive in the carpool lane?
Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone complain about somebody not driving in the carpool lane
before. Is the carpool lane open? Is it moving fast?
There's, it's totally moving. There's traffic out here, and there's people sitting in their, you know, hybrids, and they're not using the carpooling.
You're right, they should.
Isn't that the point of you buying the car?
Well, the point is probably
for gas.
To cut down on emissions.
Yeah, but let's be honest. The reason you buy it is carpooling.
I can't because I'm by myself. You know,
no, I understand.
Look, space in the lanes that I need
why don't you carpool then, Mr. Carpool Lane Guy?
Well, I don't always have a helper with me. Sometimes, you know, I go out by myself, so it's...
I think what James is saying is that more Prius owners should be like Al Gore's son, and fewer should be like the a-hole you saw riding along in the non-carpool lane. They should be going
really,
103
really
miles an hour in the carpool lane, like
absolutely.
Al Gore III. Okay.
I'm with
all right,
you.
I think we're with you on that. I think that's a good call right there.
No question. Well, all right, that's it for now.
You're done. Let's close with Monica in Fullerton.
Let's close with Monica in Fullerton. That's about
I feel good about this question.
That's what you meant to say.
Hi, Monica.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What is up?
Hi, I just want to talk about deadbeat dads. Yeah. I have a husband for 8 years now, and, you know, we have two kids.
Right.
And he's coming home late at night. Girls mm-hmm. are calling, and these girls are like 16, 17-year-olds.
Nice. I mean, bad.
Bad.
Wow,
that's bad.
Bad.
He has two kids. He doesn't come home, give me kiss. He goes straight to sleep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, we haven't had that lovemaking for a while now.
Right.
Well, and, he's scared of what happens. You keep getting pregnant.
And I want to get pregnant and have a third kid. But
stop it.
A new family. I don't know what to do.
Stop having kids.
Why would you want to do that with a guy who's ignoring you and has women calling him?
We've been together for 8 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just he comes home late and he tells me, baby, I love you. But then, like, again, he doesn't show it, you know? And
yeah. Okay, but the question is, why do you then want to have another child with this man who clearly is not living up to the responsibilities he already has?
In my dream, I have three kids. I've always wanted three kids.
Well, then just have them, no matter what the situation. Just have three kids. Do not even look at your world and where you're living and what kind of life you have. Just have the three kids because that's your dream.
The guys are beating around the bush. You're dumb.
Yes, you are.
Monica,
dumb.
Yeah, you're a doofus.
If you're with a guy that can't handle what he's got now, don't do another baby. That's insane.
Well, I'm not going to force it, but then again, like,
I'm putting her on hold. I can't.
Oh, see, this is the real problem.
Can you keep track of being asked for one more call?
Yeah, hey, that was a legitimate call to get to because people once in a while need to realize how insane things people do when it comes to kids. I mean, Monica is a perfect example. Right?
Yeah. Bad idea.
Wonder how much weight she's put on in the past 8 years, too.
Last call.
That's another good question. All right, let's guess before we go back to her. Let's guess. In 8 years with two kids, 40 pounds easy.
Nah, I'm giving her 15.
I'm going to say 55.
I'm
saying 30.
Monica's 5'3",
195. Wow.
No. Monica?
Yes?
How much weight have you gained in the past 8 years?
About 34, 35 pounds.
34, 35 pounds?
Hey, I said 40. It was close.
Yeah, what's
tall?
How tall are you?
I'm about 190 now.
190. Hey.
And how tall are you?
About 5'4".
Come on.
Mike, you were almost right on. Wow.
Jeez, I can't imagine why he doesn't want to give you some loving when he comes home.
We're changing our opinion. He's right. Thank you for the call.
Put down the hot pockets. Put down the hot pockets. That's what we're saying.
Wow.
I want to thank our very special guest, Matt Money-Smith, for joining us in the program today. You can hear him along with his lover, Petros. The PMS show airs at AM 570 from 4 to 7 in the afternoon.
He's a hunk.
Every weekday. Yeah, well, no kidding about that. We've known that for years.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a 75-year-old car racer. Love
what?
That. The guy didn't start racing until he was in his 70s.
Oh, dear God.
He's my favorite kind of guy.
How many people has he killed at the farmer's market?
That's a good question.
We'll have to ask him that.
The host of Shark Week tomorrow on the Discovery Channel. We're going to talk to Lee Stroud.
But isn't there some scandal, like he's been sleeping in hotels and stuff like that? Isn't that what's been going on?
Is wild.
That's Bear Grylls. With the crew.
That's Bear Grylls.
Bear Grylls, yeah. Al Gore's new TV show tomorrow.
Oof.
We have
Kevin, I don't think you were here yesterday to hear about this, but the worst idea for a television, you're gonna beg for the golden age of the singing bee on your TV when you hear what Al Gore's show is about. Ralph, what was the brief description of what Al's got going on for us?
It's called 67's to Save Planet Earth, and it is a reality show, competition show, where people from the U.S., the U.K., and Ireland get to make their own home videos.
For what?
With tips how to save the planet.
Cameron Diaz show. Is in it, and then they have guest judges, right? Celebrity judges.
Eco short films are
who
called
are they
eco
judge?
Shorts.
What, they're judging them?
They're going to judge them, and the winner
the tips.
Gets a house plant or something.
So, So I turn the video camera on myself and go, yeah, I reuse tinfoil. That's what I'm doing to city firemen. And then I send it off and they judge it and they put it on TV.
So wow. Far, Ted Huntington has turned in 173 tips.
Wow, Gore has lost it.
Yeah. He has. He needs to be stopped.
Also tomorrow, we have more tickets for Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with My Chemical Romance, which is this coming Tuesday. And we have two grand prize giveaways tomorrow. We're giving away the K-Rock Road Trip USA Final Stop, the grand prize, which is Muse, Riding Horses, at a Dude Ranch.
I can't imagine why this is the last one. Seems like we still got plenty of good trips left.
And all summer long, the people who have won these trips have been qualifying for the Chevy HHR and gas for a free year. We're giving away the car and the gas tomorrow morning as well. So there you go. Herbie the love bug for some reason.
And of course, Friday means the movie beat. I don't know if I wasn't listening. I don't know if he said that or not.
I don't know if you weren't listening either.
You'll be talking about the Simpsons movie tomorrow, I guess. So
maybe.
Very excited
maybe
about
I
that.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. We don't know.
Cats next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock on KRQ FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
I have lots of music coming up for
you. What do you have, Cat? What's in the next 40 minutes?
We'll be playing some Hey There, Delilah by the Red Hot Tees.
All right.
We also have...
That's very funny, first of all.
And we'll play some Sublime, and I've got some other music.
He's putting her hand around his mouth. Come on, Cat. That's funny. Cat. Have a sense of humor.
She does, but it was like 100th time in a week. No, she can't open the door to get out.
All right.
That's all next after this on the good old world famous K-Rock.